Blog Talk Radio.
And everything is going wrong, oh, no. Nobody knows the way you feel about it, 'cause only you know. You can't leave it alone. Ah, oh, here we go again.
You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. This is what he does.
Hey, brothers and sisters, how y'all doing out there? Peace to y'all, brothers and sisters out there. How y'all doing? How are y'all doing out there? Yes, sir. Y'all heard the song when we came on. What did it say, y'all? Here we go again. Here we go again. That was another song that said that too, man. Here we go, going through the same thing. I know my song, y'all. I know my singing ain't right. I know it. But yeah, I'm not a singer, y'all. I'm a podcaster. You know what I mean? But hey, y'all, we back in this house one more time right here for Culture Freedom Radio Network on the last day, according to this Gregality and Cadence, like however y'all pronounce it, y'all. Like, you know, I get tired talking on some of these goddamn English language, y'all. How y'all say it? Gregalian calendar, whatever, y'all, whatever. On this calendar, man, this is the last of this year. This is the last of right here, 2023, and what a year it has been, brothers and sisters. What a year it has been. When they say, y'all, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. What a year. What a year. But we wishing and we are praying and we hoping, like, I don't know what, y'all, 2024 will be a better year. Will be a better year, man. So we right here on Culture Freedom Radio tonight. We want to just end this year off with our end of the year broadcast. You know, we try to do this especially every year. I don't know if I did it last year or not. I can't remember, y'all. Hell, I been doing this for a long, I can't remember. But we try to just end off the year with a broadcast, sign off and start off fresh, you know, start off fresh. Now, I know a lot of my Israelite brothers and sisters and Hebrew brothers and Jewish brothers, they say, well, this ain't the end of the year. Well, according to this calendar, that's why I said it like that. According to this calendar, but we know according to the Hebrew calendar, it's not the New Year's, right? But anyway, that's another whole story. But we just want to end this one off right here. For the year for Culture Freedom, according to this calendar, man, they have a New Year's. And so we're going to come in here, just talk about various things tonight. Didn't have nothing in particular to just talk to you, but, you know, we just got to close out the year on this calendar with something for you. So let's get in here and just have a discussion tonight. And I got my brother Justice in the house again, sitting in here with me tonight. Oh, I got something, y'all. I want to tell y'all right fast, get Justice in here, though. But got something I'm working on. Probably because we're trying to get these holidays out of the way. Probably the next 2 weeks from now, I have a show I'm trying to put together because I know y'all been hearing a lot of things, and I want to get Justice's perspective on this as well once we get started. Y'all been hearing this thing about what's going on with T.D. Jakes, old T.D. Snakes, as I like to call them. Yeah, man. We're going to talk about that tonight, too, as well. But, you know, so I wanted to bring, some Christian pastors on, some brothers that I know who are actually Christian ministers. And I want to bring them on the show. And, you know, because I'm representing, y'all know, from the Israelites perspective or the Jewish perspective. Well, I can't say Jewish, Judaic perspective, as they would say, Old Testament perspective. And I wanted to get balance, a balancement in this conversation, because I don't want them to think that I'm just talking because, you know, I follow Judaism or whatnot. I'm going against the Christians, banging on the Christians. So, hey, I think this is a good, it'll be a good broadcast. I have some Christian pastors I want to bring to the show. And we want to be, and I wanted to get with them to talk about basically as clergy, how you should, things that you, how you should also be presenting yourselves and how your behavior as clergy. Now that could be, that's why I said I bring them on, because I'm representing, you know, the Israelite side, and I don't care if you a Muslim imam, I don't care if you're a rabbi, whatever, you're a so-called spiritual leader. There's a way that you should supposed to be carrying yourselves as a spiritual leader. You shouldn't be hanging around the likes of people like the P. Diddy's and people of that nature, you know. So we're going to, like I said, when Brother Joseph, we get this started, we're going to get into more of that. But I just want to let y'all know, we're going to be talking about this, how as clergy, people of the spiritual leaders, how we are supposed to be conducting ourselves. Are we allowed to kick it out and go out to strip clubs and all these other places that, as some might say, unbelievers go out and some might even say as hang out with the sinners and things of this nature. So we're going to have a good broadcast, and I want to bring some brothers in here so we can talk about that. So, yeah, that's probably another 2 weeks. Like I said, we're trying to get all these holiday schedules because, you know, I have to work. I said I be. I'm not proper English, y'all. I have to work to make up some of these things on the weekend. So, but we're going to do this on it's going to be on a Friday night. It's going to have to be on a Friday night because the brothers will be off. We're trying to get what we'll be off on that weekend. So it's going to be on a Friday night. That's the time I can get them on. So, yeah, I notify y'all. It's about 2 more weeks, and we're going to have that broadcast right here on a Friday night at 7 p.m. Central. So with that said, let me get my brother Justin in the house, and let's have a great discussion and end this year of tonight. We can even reflect on some things that happened throughout the year and talk about some things that we're hoping to see some changes on as we enter into the new year. So with that said, my brother, peace to you, Justice. Welcome into the broadcast one more time. Peace to you, brother.
Thanks again. Peace and blessings for the end of this year. So everybody, we still should have some cheer. I know later on tonight, I'm going to dance the new year in the right way.
Yes, sir.
So this has been one long, incredible stretch of a year that we have had, and you mentioned about the Gregorian, it's called Gregorian calendar, that's the way I've heard it pronounced. And so, you know, December 31st here, 2023. So yeah, it's pretty interesting what you began to speak about tonight. Yes, you're going to have the pastors come on in 2 weeks and let them have a conversation and maybe to even answer the question about clergy are really supposed to conduct themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it will be interesting enough to get an answer from them on that, which I think is going to probably be something that we would all probably tend to agree with by the time they finish saying how, you know, you're supposed to conduct yourself as a pastor or an imam or somebody who's ahead of a congregation of people. And so, yeah, I will be interested to hear that show and maybe hear how you might have some other questions maybe they can answer, or some other people may want to ask them some questions.
Yes, sir.
And so, yeah. And so that sounds good. And you said you wanted to at some point talk about the T.D. Jakes scandal that's happening currently.
Yes, sir, brother. We can dive right on into it, brother. We can dive however. It's like I said, this is just a, you know, in idea. So whatever you got, you want to bring up something, however you want to go with it, we can just flow. We can flow tonight.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm really glad that you edged out this last day of the year for us to be able to come on and at the same time, like, you know, as the cosmos, I like to use that term, the cosmos aligns us up again and is allowing us to transmit our thoughts current time and space that we are living in. So, yeah. There's been a lot going on with that scandal about that T.D. Jakes and Puff Daddy. And again, here's a person who I would give that same question to T.D. Jakes. Like, how are you supposed to conduct yourself? You know, you're the pastor and you have a mega church and you're making millions of dollars off of these people who believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. So, you know, in one case, he may preach against homosexuality or same-sex ordeals happening in relationships. He may. I've never been one to listen to T.D. Jakes, so any type of thing that I've ever heard from him come from a short clip or something that, you know, somebody presented, something that was short, because I've never sat and listened to him preach or talk for more than just a few minutes. So I wouldn't know what he really preaches about so much so, except for just a short clip here and there about him saying something or another about something. And people, maybe when I heard it at the time, they thought it was favorable towards him because he was saying something that seemed right. And so, but as we continue to hear about things that are allegations about things that T.D. Jakes may have been involved with Puff Daddy, then, you know, there are still people coming out with different photographs that they have in their possession or sharing with people to see him having contacts with Puff Daddy a lot of different times, not just once or twice, but on several occasions. There's different photos out there with these two guys somewhere together. To be a pastor and then to maybe have an entertainer or someone come to your church and maybe even offer $50,000. It's like, okay, I want to, you know, give you $50,000 because you're a great pastor, or, you know, I look up to you, like how you preach, whatever it is. So they might, because they are big willy types, they're actors or some kind of an artist, producer, and even a movie producer like Tyler Perry. There's a clip out there where he donated $1 million to T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
T.D. Jakes, like, kind of had a fit, or he kind of was, like, in shock or in great gratitude. So however you, know, perceive it, it's that if you're in that position, okay, you may be allowed to receive donations from people who are in the outside world and they want to help your congregation. But you have to draw the line, in my opinion, you would have to draw the line as a pastor and not get involved in backdoor activities. Maybe that's the wrong word to use in this case, but to get involved in, to get involved with people who have not been known to be big time churchgoers and more known for being big time movie producers or music producers, stuff like that. And so there's two different worlds. So you're looking at the pastor's supposedly holy world and righteous world, and then you got the world of those people coming from Hollywood or in the music industry, and they're known to dibble and dwell in different things that aren't righteous and that aren't seen as good or holy or seen as even moral or morally correct. And so for the pastor to somehow receive an invitation or accept an invitation to go and hang out with Puff Daddy somewhere for any reason whatsoever, to me, is not acceptable in thine eyes. Not that I'm God, but in my eyes, I just don't see that acceptable to go across the line and not let your parishioners even know what you're doing. You just going somewhere and on a what you call like a traveling exposition or something with the person, or you know, or hanging out somewhere. You didn't tell the parishioners and you didn't tell the other deacons and the ministers and everything what you was going to do, but you're doing it anyway. And then when you get there, there's some really ungodly things happening, and you know that you're in the wrong place if you're technically what you're supposed to be. You know you're not in the right place, because if some man is dressed in a police uniform and he's performing some kind of like dance and stuff that's not really a manly looking dance, and you're seem to be getting riled up about it or not saying anything negative about it or seeming to be accepting what's going on and smiling and not opposing it or walking away or throwing up, put your Bible up in the air and say, hey, what's all this is blasphemy, or, you know, just speaking upon it, speaking on what's happening, what you see, and just standing there and just seemingly being okay with it. So that's the thing where I would have to question T.D. Jakes to where, okay, you hanging out with a man and these other men, and it's a man party, all men, there's no women, so that doesn't throw up a red flag to you either? And you were invited to the place, but you don't see no red flags about this. So it's something maybe that's, because money's involved, right? Or because there's, at the end of the whole thing, there's money attached to it.
Yes, sir.
And that, okay, I could get something out of this if I participate, and this guy's got all this money, then ultimately, if I agree to just hang out here or just whatever happens, then I can get the money, and maybe that's what, you know, the whole objective for the pastor is, without looking at the moral, the greater godly, the cloak of the what clothing, you know, like what he's wearing and what he represents is supposed to supersede anything from the outside world or the world. When out of that Bible, they tell you that, okay, you're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And this is what I've heard from pastors in the past. So I would think
yes,
that T.D. Jakes would know that, right? So
yes,
you go ahead and take it from there. You know, I'll see what you think about some of that.
Okay, hey, man, you breaking it down, brother. Hey, you breaking it down. And you're 1,000%. I can't give you, can't shortchange and give you no 100. You got to add another zero. And you're right, brother. And see, that is the... And see, I did a video on that, my brothers and sisters, on YouTube on the Tabernacle channel. I had to give y'all the name of the channel in a minute on the video. But yeah, I did a video on that, and I was speaking on that, and I wasn't getting into the allegations, the sexual allegations or things of that nature. But I just only came from the perspective as a, like I said, a clergy, a person who's supposed to be in a spiritual leadership position. And it just don't have to be the church. There's any spiritual system that you're in, and you're supposed to be leader of that. Okay, the video I've done on our Tabernacle channel, Liberation Tabernacle, you can find it on YouTube and all of that. Well, that's actually the YouTube channel, and as far as the other podcasts, iHeartRadio. But I put on there, and it's entitled, "The Most High Will Not Dwell in an Unclean Temple." Y'all want to check that video out. The Most High Will Not Dwell in an Unclean Temple. Hold on, wait a minute. Is that the one? Oh, that don't sound like the right one. That's not the one. My bad, y'all. You want to check that one out, too. That's not the one. That's not the one. You want to check that one out, too. But it's called The People of the Most High Shouldn't Be Hanging Out with the Congregation of the Wicked. That's it. The people of the Most High who say they believe in God or whatever y'all have, whatever title y'all like to use, shouldn't be hanging out in the Congregation of the Wicked. That's the name of that one. Y'all want to check that one out, brothers and sisters. You want to check that one out. Yes, sir. But going back something, and I'm going to give y'all something now. Since we talk about T.D. Jakes, who is a Christian minister, I got to go to one of the books that they love, and that's going to a letter. Y'all know these are letters. When y'all reading anything from Paul, it's called an epistle, what they call it, but it's a letter. And this is something, a conversation that Paul was having, right? This is a conversation Paul was having to the church of, they call Corinth, or the, as they say, Corinthians. The Corinthians, and we go to 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, right? 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. This is a conversation that Paul was writing in his letters to the church of Corinthians, of Corinth. And he was telling him, and now this I'm reading y'all from the New Living Translation. I like to make it simple and plain. Y'all can go to y'all King James. It's going to read a little variation. It's going to read a little different, but the meaning behind it still going to be the same. It don't matter, y'all. It's just like how we speak today. We don't speak hither and thou, all of those stuff. We speak another form of English. That's old English. So, you know what I mean? So it the meaning is still be there, but it's just how we pronunciate things. So let me get into it. It's a New Living Translation. It says just like this. It says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteous be a partner with wickedness? It says, how can light live with darkness? What harmony can..." Now, this is for you Christians out there, like T.D. Jakes. And I'm reading this, you know, because this is what it says. Verse 15. "What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil?" Right? Y'all know when they saying Christ, they act like something about Yeshua, a.k.a. Jesus, right? So what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. So, and this right here is actually saying, brothers and sisters, that just letting you know in a nutshell, that far as that whole hanging out at those type of parties and environment that P. Diddy was having, you shouldn't be hanging out in those type of places. I don't give a, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a minister, but you shouldn't be hanging out in places such as that. There's nowhere in the world, as Jane Brown get down, y'all, that any pastor or spiritual leader have any business hanging out in strip clubs. Mm-hmm. You ain't got no business down in Atlanta at what's that, y'all, Magic City. You got no business. You have no business. Huh? And you claim to be a minister or a teacher of the word of the Most High, and you hanging out in places such as that. You ain't got no business, y'all. And then be up to try to tell somebody else about their sin in that church in the morning or in the synagogue or wherever you at. You have no business. Because like they say, that's when they start calling you a hypocrite. And that is the part when they say I know my grandmama used to say this here. I don't know if y'all grandmother or grandparents used to say, they had this same saying. Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw no stones. You ever heard that before, Justin?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and that's it right there. Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw no stones. So T.D. Jakes, there's no way he can stand in a pulpit and tell anybody else about unrighteousness. Now, when he's been said that he done, and it's a known fact. it ain't no allegations about none of that. Now, the sexual stuff may be some allegations, but it's basically been a known fact that him and it's been shown that he's been hanging out in places such as that. Now, some people even said, and I'll give y'all another verse in a minute from the Proverbs, some wisdom from Proverbs as well, going with this. It's been even said that, now, some people say, well, how you know he's not being a spiritual advisor to Puff Daddy? Listen, P. Diddy, I'm pretty sure P. Diddy know where his church is located. I'm pretty sure. They've been kicking it for a long time. I'm pretty sure he know where his church is located. Listen here. He cannot be there ministering to P. Diddy at a Luke Skywalker pool party. Now, y'all know how Uncle Luke back in the days used to have them parties, those miso-horny parties, y'all. Ain't no way in the Jane Brown down. That's my alternative profanity word, y'all. Y'all see I'm trying to not use the profanity. But ain't no way in the world you talking about you down there trying to minister spiritual, giving spiritual guys at a Luke Skywalker miso-horny pool party. You know doggone well. Come on, TD. Come on now. And y'all are even making that stuff up. Y'all know better. Y'all know what he up there. He looking to be some rump shaker. He looking at some rump shakers himself. Mm-hmm. That's what he doing. He down there trying to lay some hands on something, like the gold Christian pastor. He trying to lay hands on something for real, y'all. He trying to anoint somebody head with some oil. And I ain't talking about this in a spiritual way either. But anyway, no, let me calm down. Let me calm down. Let me give y'all something else, though. But just right there, 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, actually, for any pastors, because that's what Christians right there, you have no business. Paul telling y'all that. That's Paul. And y'all send him in the pulpit and preach Paul all day long. Now, let me give you one more. Give you some wisdom on Solomon. This is what Brother Solomon said. Now, this is coming from my Jewish Complete Study Bible. And this is how it reads. You go to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 1. And let me see. Is that the right one? Did make sure y'all. Yeah, here we go. Verse 1 and 2. It says that, do not be envious of evil people, and do not desire to be with them, for their minds are occupied with violence, and their lips speak of making trouble. I want to go to verse 1 again of Proverbs 24. It says, do not be envious of evil people, but the point I really want to make here is this portion. Do not desire to be with them. It is known, it is said, and people have seen P. Diddy's so-called actions and how he operate. You shouldn't want to be desiring to be around people like that, again, if you claiming to be on the righteous level. Now, if you don't claim to be trying to be righteous or living a righteous life, hey, that's on you. But we talking about a person who's standing in the pulpit, stand on the televisions, who's all over here writing books, spiritual books, talking about righteousness, God this, God that. And you hanging out with the likes of people like that, hey, bro, come on now. This is why it says, you know, your works, your actions is what counts. You could say it. That's why they say you could say anything out your damn mouth, but your actions gonna speak louder than words. That's what the whole thing is about. Your actions speak louder than words. How you conduct themselves, how you carry yourself, speak louder than anything. This is why a lot of brothers and sisters, and I got something for you too as well. I got a clip I want to play too to let you hear something, because you mentioned something about T.D. Jakes and his stance on homosexuality. I got that as soon as I make this. This is why a lot of brothers and sisters sometimes they try to find a way to get out of it anyway. They don't want to do it anyway, but they try to find any kind of way, and they find fault with a lot of people who speaks about God this, God that, the Bible this, and they try to find fault with y'all to try to justify why they don't, you know, subscribe to God, a supreme being or whatever they want to call it. They don't want to subscribe to it because they see your actions. I was telling brothers at work about this the other day, and I was saying how if you claiming to be, you tell me I go to church, I go to the synagogue, I go to whatever Israelite camps or classes, and you always talk about the Bible this, you always saying this out of your mouth, God this and God that. But they're seeing you in places you have no business. They're seeing you always drunk or high on marijuana, crack, whatever, you know, just something you know you have no business doing as a believer. And they see you doing that. Like, for them, it's like, what benefit is it for me then to try to, for me to change my behavior if I see this here person who claim to love God, always talking about the Bible, but I see them hanging out in the same spot, like I said, the strip club and the crack houses, the weed houses and all these other places, the twerking places and all this stuff, doing the same thing that I'm doing. What benefit is it for me? Why should I have to change when hell, they doing the same thing? See, it's your action, brothers and sisters, is what people looking at, not what you saying out your damn mouth. You, like I said, your mouth will say any damn thing, but your actions is what count. And that is the whole thing, as they talk about even repentance, is in repentance. People like to talk about, you can say you believe that as Christians, you can say all you want to that Jesus died and shed his blood for your sin and all of this type of, you can say that all you want to. Even people say, well, God forgive me for my sins. But you can ask if you've done wrong. But the true thing is what they call repentance. And I wish preachers would preach on this. I wish preachers would really teach on this for certain. You can, if you've done wrong and some things that was wrong, but you just said, well, God, please forgive me. But you constantly doing the same thing. That don't mean nothing. You asking didn't mean a doggone thing, because here's really what you have to do. Now, in what we call the Judaic teaching, is called, we have this Hebrew word, it's called, what y'all might call repentance. It's called teshuvah in Hebrew. And it means, actually, some say repentance, but it actually means to return. And if you do not, like say, repent or turn away from your ways that you used to do, all the things that you've done, all that talking about, forgive me, Lord, Jesus died, listen here, but you still doing the same old thing that you've been doing, that's nothing, y'all. That's lip service. That's all it was. It was just lip service. But the true repentance and the true thing is coming when you repent. And y'all really don't hear too many the preachers get into it. And people need that understanding, because they really just thinking, well, and Christianity teach this. And I'm gonna get with the brother and I'm gonna ask him about this, about how is it they have people thinking all you have to do is just believe that Jesus died and rose on the third day. He died and shed his blood for your sins and rose on the third day. All you have to do is just believe that as a believer and you straight. That's a lie. And that's why you got so many people still out here can still act the damn fool out here and do what they want to do, far as, you know, people who believe in that, because they feel that they don't have to change. They still can damn near do what they want to do. No, it's about changing your way, living a certain way, living your life in a certain accordance, a pattern of righteousness. You got people who probably don't, and I'm going to say it, you got people don't go to church, don't probably believe in God or something else or none of that right there at all. But they live, we can even call a righteous life without even dealing with that. Because they treat people kind. They're not rude keep people oppressed. It's just a way of how they live and carry themselves. That's better than any damn anybody who's running around here, running a church, running with a Bible, and anything else. Hell, they better than some of them. Don't even believe in God. Treat people better than y'all who believe in God. And they don't believe in it, but they live a righteous life. See, that's what you need to understand what a righteous is. But I'm gonna get off of it right fast. Y'all gonna make me preach. I know it's Sunday night. Y'all gonna make me preach up in there. But I want to play something, Brother Justice. Give you a little something, bro. This is Mark Lamont Hill. This is a little clip from his show, brother. And he was asking TDJ about somewhat his stance on homosexuality, and people have been bringing this out, and he talking about how he evolved, something about he evolved. I mean, I guess his stance on how he, once thought about homosexuality or felt about homosexuality, is almost like the Barack Obama thing. And, you know, when he first came out, his marriage is between a man and a woman, and then we see how he evolved. So, yeah, I'm going to play a little bit of this J. Lamont Hill. I mean, what's his name? Mark Lamont Hill. I'm sorry. A little bit. Let me see. Let me get this. Hope I get the right spot.
Jakes and his position
on the Black church and sexuality. A few years ago, actually almost 10 years ago, I did an interview with Bishop T.D. Jakes where the question...
Oh, can you hear it pretty good, brother? Make sure you hear it good. Or...
Yeah, I hear it very clearly and very good.
Okay, all right, all right.
...of sexuality and the Black church came up, and here's what he said.
I think it's going to be diverse from church to church. Every church has a different opinion on the issue, and every gay person is different. And I think that to speak the church, the Black church or white church or any kind of church you want to call it, are all the same is totally, totally not true. And all gay people are not the same. The types of relationships that are afforded are based on the types of people in each individual case.
Yeah.
And LGBTs or whites and sorts have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe like anybody else. And the church should have the right to have its own convictions and values. If you don't like those convictions and values, you totally disagree with it, don't try to change my house. Move into your own and establish that sort of thing and find somebody who gets what you get about faith. And trust me, I've talked to enough LGBT. They are not all the same.
Oh, for sure. Anyone and all Christians.
No, no.
He gave a very interesting and important answer there, but I felt like that answer wasn't exactly answering the question about the church. It was more focused on American society. So I pushed him a little bit.
First of all, has your thinking evolved on this?
Evolved and evolving. Evolved and evolving.
Where are you?
I think that where I am is to better understand, the church bought into the myth that this was a Christian nation. And once you get past that, which a lot of people are going to criticize me because they're still going to think it's Christian nation, which is a whole different show. Mm-hmm. But once you begin to understand that democracy and that a republic actually is designed to be an overarching system to protect our unique nuances, then we no longer look for public policy to reflect biblical ethics. If we can divide, or what you would call separation of church and state,
yeah,
then we can dwell together more effectively. Because atheists, agnostics, Jews, all types of people, Muslims pay into the government then cannot reflect one particular view over another just because we are the dominant group of religious people in the country, because those numbers are changing every day. We need a neutralized government that protects our right to disagree with one another and agree with one another.
From there, I wanted to go even deeper into the conversation by asking him about his own personal conviction and his own personal stance on this vis-a-vis the church.
Right.
Inside the church, has your thinking biblically, scripturally, hermeneutically shifted at all? And the reason I ask that is because I talk to a lot of ministers now, and there was that big conference out in South Africa in the last couple of weeks where people from all over the world were there, and this is one of the issues that came up along with race and other things. And one of the questions was, Is there a way to approach Christian tradition, Christian scripture, in light of a new understanding of LGBT? For example, 18th century, there might have been a particular understanding of what slavery meant in relation to Paul, in relation to the New Testament, et cetera, that has shifted to the point that it is socially accepted that irrespective of what text says literally, we don't support slavery as a body, right? And even though it varies church, most churches don't support.
right.
Might be a few out there. We don't get invited to those.
Yeah.
But similarly, there's room for that same kind of shift.
I think that shift has to go on behind the closed doors of the church, because I think in the mainstream America, anybody who doesn't agree with you, we...
Hold up. Too much stuff go behind the doors, T.D. Jakes, behind the closed doors. That's why they say you come out the closet, so you want them to stay behind in the closet. But never mind. Let me hear him just finish.
Have a derogatory name to call you. Mm-hmm. And I think it oversimplifies the complexity of text. The fact that you have fidelity to the scriptures as you have been taught does not mean that you're necessarily homophobic or any other kind of phobia. But yet in mainstream America, anybody who doesn't line up with a particular worldview, we give them a name to ostracize them, much like we were given names to ostracize.
That's enough of that foolishness. I'm going to send you this clip, though, Justin.
That's about the longest amount of T.D. Jakes I've ever gotten.
Okay. And, hell, that was only 4 minutes. It's like 10 minutes. I'm going to send it to you, those when you have it. But for me, and I know it messed Jay Lamont Hill. Mark Lamont. I keep saying calling him Jay Lamont Hill. Mark Lamont Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was – that was unusual comment and a response from someone who claiming to be a pastor. That wouldn't even have been if I had asked him that question, I wouldn't have looked for him to give me none of that answer that he gave. I would have been looking for him to come straight forward from the Bible. What is your stance on the church and homosexuality? Now, if he had asked me that, I would have stranded straight forward, especially if I was a Christian, But I can even go to as me, it's a knock only. I go straight to Leviticus. Or just say even a Christian, I can go like, well, I can only take you, since you mentioned the church. And I'm just speaking as if I was a Christian pastor. You said, well, how do I feel about being from the church, but my stance on it from the church and homosexuality? I said, well, my stance is not my stance. Since you said the church, my stance is what the Bible says. And I would take him to the portions in the Bible, what the Bible said. See, all of the other stuff he gave was tap dancing. He was doing the Harlem Shuffle. He was showing up doing the duck. He was doing the Dougie with that one for real. That's not an answer that you would expect from a pastor or a so-called, he's a man of the Bible to talk about. But I'm going to let you go ahead and respond, and I'll go to something that he could have went to as a Christian pastor. So I'm going to act as a Christian pastor tonight, y'all. I'm going to do some New Testament stuff. So when we talk about Pastor T.D. and all of that, I'm going to act as a Christian. I'm going to put my old Christian clothes back on, because I did get ordained once as a Christian minister. So I'm going to put that robe back on tonight, and I'm going to show how he should have responded. But I'm going to let Justice go ahead and respond first.
Okay.
What's your thoughts, brother?
Well, I'm going to walk it backwards and get to it.
Yes, sir.
And based on something you were saying, repent. And I say repent for real. And so there was this YouTuber on, and he was this dude who opposes Islam, although he was raised as a Muslim and everything, but he goes against it because he thinks it's all wrong, and it's, you know, just everything about it is messed up and wrong. So he has his own YouTube channel, and he goes in on the Prophet Muhammad and everything. So anyway, he's doing a video, him and another dude, just the other guys, like this Christian dude. And so they do videos together on YouTube. And so the dude who gets on, he says, yeah, well, today I'm sick. My nose is running. I'm coughing. I have a fever, a headache. He says, my wife is sick. And our children, everybody in the house is sick. And he's like, we're just sick. We're sick. And so he's saying that I know all of my haters out there are going to say that this is my punishment from Allah for being, you know, for whatever I did wrong, you know. So he says, I'm going to, you know, he just went on about whatever. But that just made me to think about the same thing is to repent and to not keep doing something and expecting something different. So you have to change from your wicked ways, or change from, if you're doing something, you think you're doing something right initially, but then you come to find out, no, that something just hit you and you got sick. You caught a bad cold or something. So you may, before you caught the bad cold, the Creator might have put in your mind that, okay, this particular thing can cause you to get sick if you continue to be around that particular situation. So then you end up sick, even though you were pre-warned, and then you suffered the consequences because you didn't repent for real. So had a repentance works where you wise up towards something and you recognize it's not right, and then you go the opposite way, or you go the straight way instead of this way that seems so easy, but it's really not good. It's dangerous. So that's just something sort of happened with me in my situation where I knew maybe some kind of person, maybe you had some germs, and I just kind of thought, well, nobody can make me sick because I'm so strong or something. And then being around that particular person, I got sick and I had a bad cold. So I got over the cold, and then I was upset with the person as well as myself because I knew that I sensed germs before I even caught the cold. So the whole thing about it is once you learn and repent, then you can have a better outcome and a much more holier kind of way of being, you know, in yourself. You can be free of continuing to fall victim of something that you shouldn't be doing or you shouldn't have done or you shouldn't got around somebody who you know is probably not as clean, you know, as they could be or should be or something. So it just taught me something too in that. Now, to remember that when I listened to Keeping It Real with the Reverend Al Sharpton, and one of his intros, he has a clip that he's playing of P. Diddy speaking. And P. Diddy says that whenever I get in trouble, I call the Reverend Al Sharpton, right? Which makes me think, well, in the last month, the Reverend Al Sharpton probably got a whole lot of calls from Puff Daddy because he's been in a whole lot of trouble the last couple, like a month or two, right? So that made me think of that. And then, let me see. Oh, here's the other thing. There's this movie that came out called Woman, Thou Art Loosed. And it was starring T.D. Jakes. And I do recall watching the entire movie, but I don't recall in detail everything that it was about. But it gave T.D. Jakes a masculine presentation of who he was as a pastor. So if the movie was to do anything to possibly try to erase from your mind that he may have possibly been a gay man and that the movie could have been something to particularly make him look like an alpha male instead. And that kind of impression, I believe, I received after viewing the full film, that he wasn't a punk or that me previously first maybe seeing or listening to him speak, he sounded like he may be sweet. So so the movie aspect of it made him seem like he was like a pastor type of a, not pimp maybe, but maybe on the lines of one, but about the business of the church and being head of it and being in command of it and running it and making sure nobody took advantage of them.
But I'm asking you a question, brother. Right, fan. I'm going to go ahead. You do know he produced that movie. That's his production, his movie production.
Well, you know, like I think I remember that, but yeah. Okay. So whatever the case, you know, maybe that was for him to try to make himself look better as a masculine man versus what you may think of him in your subconscious or something, you know.
Yeah. But I never seen it for the record, but I know what you're talking about. Go ahead, bro. My bad.
So no, like I said, like you said, he produced the movie, so for him, it would be his chance to give the kind of image that he would want the world to view him as. If even if he was still closeted, he still don't want to present as openly gay, because then he know that it would be too many fights that he couldn't win on his hand at that point, right? Because he's already this guy with the mega church and all the followers and the millions of dollars a year. So he don't want to jeopardize that. He want to increase on that, which he has done. And so this scandal right now jeopardizes his continuing to reap all the benefits of the mega church. And so that's why he's defending himself, and he's not doing a good job of it, but he's saying what he thinks he should say in order to try to straighten out the matter, but it's not helping much because there's too many other people out there who knows Puff Daddy and have had ties to both of them, and they're saying things, and they have evidence to support some of the things they're saying about Puff Daddy and T.D. Jakes. So that's all I'm going to speak about on that, and, you know, maybe we'll – you could say something more on it, and we can say something about some other things.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I'm going to read one thing here from the book of Romans right fast. Like I said, I got to put my Christian pastor clothes on at night, go back to my old Christian days at night on this one. Then, like I said, then we could jump to something else. But here's something from that clip. I would have, if that was me in an interview, I would have went with when Mark Lamont Hill asked me that question, but about the church and homosexuality. I would have went this way. Like I said, it would ask me my response. It's a pastor that went here. I would have took him to the book of Romans because they always quote Paul. They always quoting Paul. So I would have took him to a conversation again. When you, like I said, you're reading Paul's writings and things. Remember, these are letters that Paul was writing and conversation pieces that Paul was having. In this particular instance, this was, they call the book of Romans. So he was writing to someone in Rome, or as they say, the church in Rome, and talking to them. And as a pastor, this is what he should have went with. Now, I'm still again reading from the New Living Translation. So here we go. The New Living Translation, Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. And like I said, the New Living, so I got to make it plain and simple. Here it is. Verse 24 says, "And God abandoned them to do whatever shameful thing their heart desires. As a result, they did vile and degrading things to each other's body. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. And amen." That's what it ended with. But check this one out. Here we go, y'all. This is the homosexual thing. "That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the woman turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other." Let me stop right there for a minute. Now, Paul is talking about how women, well, we see a lot of this going on today, how the women, now he was talking about in that day, in that time, but Paul, this still relates to now, what's going on. He said how the women have, they turned away, because now this is what it says. This is cold-blooded. It says the natural way of having sex. What is the natural way of having sex, y'all? Meaning he's talking about
missionary.
The natural way. What's that, bro?
Missionary position.
Well, no, not that, not position wise, but because when you read, because the text, what it said, he's talking about in here, the natural way is talking about a woman having sexual intercourse with a man, because in this instance, he talked about homosexuality. Justin said, God, no, Justin. Okay, we'll mark that as number one on the sexual position spot for Justin is number one, y'all.
No.
100 points. So, yes. But yeah, he's talking about that she gave up the natural use or the natural way to have sex. He says, and instead indulge in sex with each other. So we see that happening today. And again, verse 27, jump back into it. Verse 27, y'all. And he says, and the men, instead of having a normal sexual relationship with women, they burn with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. It says, as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they desired. I'm going to give you a little bit right here, verse 26. And he says that since they thought it foolishness to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things they should never be done. Now, even to start off, this is what he's saying, because verse 28 goes along with verse 24, line 24, or conversation 24, because it starts off saying God abandoned them to do whatever shameful thing their heart desire. And we think about this today, and we're like, well, damn, how come God ain't doing this? How come God ain't stepping in and so on? So he letting all this homosexual go down? Because again, what it's saying, you think about this. You know, this is what, and I know it's kind of hard to fathom a little bit, but he's saying this is what their heart desire. It is like, and what even what Paul is saying, since a lot of people even say today, and you mostly hear from the homosexual community or gay community or whatever they want to call themselves, and not just them, but a lot of people like, man, it's foolish to tell my dad that there's a damn such thing as God and all of this. Ain't no God. Ain't no so-and-so, this, that, and other. So even with that, it says, since they thought it was foolishness to acknowledge, this is what it's saying, they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God. Okay. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. He says, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that should not have been done. So a lot of people like, they may know such thing. So, okay, now you allowed to do, since you say ain't no such thing. Okay, take it out. Since you want to do what you want to do, go ahead. It's like I asked the brother old song. I can't tell you who, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to saga to, or I'm not going to tell you who to saga to. Go ahead and do your thing. Go ahead and do your thing. When you get all these damn sexual diseases, AIDS, whatever else, and all that, go ahead. And there's even some, and I hate to say this on, you know, but I've heard this, sister was talking about this before in some video, that men that have been doing all this anal stuff with the other men, I've heard the sister was talking about how they get, anal cancer and all this old other stuff. So, hey, if that's what you desire to do, go right on ahead. Go right on ahead. But that's what I would have gave, though, as a pastor. I would have read Romans. I wouldn't have to go to Leviticus, remember, because they tell you the Old Testament is done away with. So I would have had to go as a Christian pastor, right, for Christianity. I would have had to go to Paul's Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and 27. That would have been my response. But I know he won't want to do that, because why? These people don't want to seem offensive today, especially Brother Justice mentioned about these damn mega churches. They got to watch out for their moolah. They got to watch out for their damn money. And they can always preach about Jesus sacrificed himself and gave his damn life. But he told him in the Gospels that you will be able to do greater works than he, and you shall be persecuted for his name's sake. But they scared as hell to get persecuted today. Now, y'all always claiming Jesus, right? But why you scared to get persecuted? Losing, maybe you might lose your little television show, get kicked off the air. You might get kicked this, that, you know, little bit of this taken from you, a little of that. Huh? You scared? But the person who you say you claim, say you will be persecuted for my name's sake. But y'all scared as hell today to get persecuted. See, that's why you waiting on somebody else to do, like Elijah Muhammad said, you waiting on somebody else to do something for you instead of getting up doing something for y'all self. Y'all said Jesus died on the cross over 2,000 some damn years ago. Y'all waiting on a dead man to come do for you. And he told his disciples, and some of y'all claiming to be disciples, apostles, and all of this, then he tell you that you would be able to do greater works than he? What the hell y'all waiting on? What the hell you waiting on? But anyway, y'all letting y'all people fall apart, man. That's why we're going to get deep into this stuff. We're going to start bringing this out on Culture Freedom, and not just on Culture Freedom, on Liberation Tabernacle. It's time for y'all, man. It is time for, and that's what I've even been hearing, and it seemed to be that way. Said 2024 going to be the year of exposure. A lot of people finna start getting exposed, not just TDJs, not just R. Kelly, but hell, there's a lot of people finna get exposed. It's cleanup time, y'all. It's cleanup time. Yes, it is. It's cleanup time.
I believe that. Yes, sir.
But if we can jump off the TD, we can get into something else. But yeah, man, it's. And I just seen something, man. We talk about the new year right fast. Like I said, this has been one heck of a year. this been one heck of a year. And as I was just, we was just sitting here on the show, there's a lot of children have been shot and killed in this city alone. Maybe not all of them that died, but just in this city. I know it's damn near over 200. Just popped up on my phone not too long ago. A child had just been shot in the city just now. This year, 2024, I mean, damn, excuse me, 23, y'all. Y'all know what, y'all do know this is history we just went through, right? Y'all do know that. Every day is history. But the book of 2023 have been written, and it is about to be sealed in a couple of more hours. This has been one hell of a book, or one chapter, chapter 23, as 2023 chapter is one hell of a chapter, y'all. I would never want to live through again. And I hope to hell, like heck, that 24 do not be like the 23rd chapter. So we got a lot of work to do, y'all, and we don't want to relive history. You know, some things we can say, we repeat history. That, as Ecclesiastes said, there's nothing new under the sun. We don't want to relive chapter 23, do we? We don't want to relive that, Donald. Our history, we want to rewrite. We want the next history to be written, which is 2024, of pages 2024 to be better than 2023 pages, or chapter 23, as I'm calling it. This has been one heck of a chapter, or one part of history that's been a hell of a thing. So many brothers and sisters have died this year. Not at the hand of the Klan. And I got to talk about this, y'all. Not at the hand of the goddamn KKK, but at the hands of another black man and woman. And I know I can speak for here in this city, speak for what happened in Philadelphia where Brothers Justice said, or I can't speak to California. I'm talking about here in this damn city. We always talk about black upliftment, black empowerment, black so-and-so, black excellent. This hadn't been no black excellent, y'all. If this is what we think is excellent, I don't want no part in it, y'all. I don't want no goddamn part in it. We can't, it's pitiful. It's downright ridiculous how what we're seeing, the hatred that we have for each other as a people now. And we talk about a people who supposed to came from royalty, and look at the things that in ancient times, you know, you see on certain channels like Sonetta and places, they always talk about history. But goddamn, y'all, what happened to those people? What happened to those great people? Now, we know they had disagreements back then. We do know that, y'all. We had always had a disagreement. But the stuff that we're seeing that's happening to us today, we got young sisters out here. As we talk about Osadane, sister call herself Sexy Red, Suki, and some other ones out there, talking about their vagina. Somebody don't took them to pound. Oh, Lord have mercy, y'all. Yeah. It is a downright shame. We're not upgrading, y'all. We are, and I got to say this right fast, and I'm going to let Jessica go here. It's not all of us. We know that. We know we talk in general conversation. So we all know, if, like we said, if the shoe don't fit, don't try to put the mother sucker on. So we know we're not talking about everybody. But we know there's a lot, there's so much, as the masses, Elijah Muhammad said, the masses, 85%, we know what they're doing. When we talk about most, that's what the number is going to be. So it's a lot of them, they're not upgrading, or as they say, conscious was rising a couple of years ago. It seemed to be that we're on a downgrade, y'all. We're on a down spiral. Civilization in the human, evolvement supposed to be being the creme de la creme. Humans are really on a downgrade. Truly is. It truly is. And AI is going to be taking over, goddamn it, for real. Because this is why the whole thing, they don't need, and I know this is a whole other stuff, but I'm going to let Jessica go, but I'll come back to that. But it's a goddamn shame, y'all. Excuse my language. That we're seeing the stuff that we're seeing with us. And it's sad as hell, number one. All the lives have been taken. Y'all talking about COVID killed people. Shit, we've been killing each other like a mother sucker over stupid shit. Over stupid, idiotic stuff. And I'm going to tell y'all, the part right now I'm still looking at, it's like 8:04 my time. I was joking with some people at work, but damn near serious. I said, damn, man, it's going to be scary to get close to 12 o'clock. I said, I need me a damn underground bunker. Being me an underground bunker, or maybe I need to go to the goddamn police station and sit there to 2 o'clock in the morning. Me and I can probably drive back home. Because all the goddamn shooting and shit that's going to be going on, you don't know all these stray bullets flying everywhere. Not too long ago, about an hour before this show, man, it sounded like I was in Baghdad. See, they starting already since I said it. But it's going to be scary, brother, because all these bullets flying every damn where, man. It's crazy. It is flat out crazy. The madness. We got to do better. We have to do better. It's imperative that we do better. But go ahead, my brother.
Okay. I will agree with you on a lot. And especially about humans are on a downgrade. Now, that could be all humans. We particularly talk about our Black American fellow people. And so I kind of could say it, I could leave it with us, but it's really humans are on a downgrade collectively. So, but if we look at the Black community, then we can point to where these problems are stemming from. And so, yeah, I was talking to my best friend. He lived in Detroit today. And I'm here in Philly, and you over there in Tennessee. And we talking about the same thing that's going to go on tonight at midnight. The same thing. Like, what is our plan to be safe? How are we going to make sure our loved ones are safe at 12 o'clock? And so my best friend said, well, he already took his mother to his sister's house out in the way up in the suburbs, away from where there's nobody going to be shooting at. And so for him to be in his mid-50s and his mother is like 80 years old, he's making sure his mother is not going to be around when in the city where he lives that his mother going to have a chance to be shot by a stray bullet. And so I'm here, and this city is very violent. We surpassed over 400 murders 2.5 weeks ago. So I don't know where it is now, but we're still on a pace similar to the previous 2 years where we had over 500 people murdered by guns of another Black person to another. So we may just fall short of 500 this year, it looks like. But those numbers are up from the previous years when it was an average of 300 or so, sometimes 350, or it's usually around 300 and something, but it's been way up. We 525 or 560 or some crazy numbers we had the last couple years. So this is a very violent city as well. And tonight, people are going to be busting off all of their guns, illegal guns and purchased guns. All the guns are going to be bust off for some reason, that this seems to be the thing to do at 12 o'clock. And why is that the thing to do at 12 o'clock? Because the whole atmosphere of this country has been a violent one. And it's been one that has had a lot to do with guns in the first place. So guns is the major power. Guns is the one thing that people say, okay, I want to protect myself. And so they may go get a gun legally. But in today's society where humans are on a downgrade, that the person who has a gun legally now may still have a mental illness problem that has never been spotted out or pointed out or, you know, made known. And in America, where a lot of people are on the edge and they may have a weapon or not, but people tend to just lose it. You just like, just start going off, start cussing, start carrying on, disrespecting people just right away. And then if two people who have a gun or one person with the gun maybe gets disrespected by a person without a gun, but the person without the gun is going off and the person who has a gun legally just decides, oh, I'm going to shoot this person because he's pissing me off. And then they get in their car and drive off. I mean, then you got the road rage incidents. People who have guns legally and illegally are driving in the cars. They get some road rage. They start shooting at people next to them and whatnot. Who knows if they bought the gun legally? Who knows if they purchased it in the street? But they still have the same road rage. And so the more you talk to the younger people, you'll see that they are very desensitized towards life or people, and they have attitudes towards their own self and that they don't care much about anybody else. So a lot of times the younger people will draw different kinds of conclusions that death might be the only way that they can know, they know how to resolve an issue to permanently eliminate the problem. And that's how they're seeing things. They want to permanently eliminate the temporary problem. And these things are in the movies where different scenarios take place and someone says something the wrong way and next thing you know, somebody shot somebody. In this movie called Suicide Squad, this was the most stupid, most ridiculous movie that I tried to watch. And people were being killed for almost nothing, to nothing, for no reason in that movie, Suicide Squad. Just people killing people for nothing at all. And that's how the minds of the humans have been on a downgrade. Through these type of movies that promote your life ain't worth nothing. Like, you can be dead in any moment. We'll unalive you anytime we feel like it. And this is a desensitizing word to use about killing somebody. They say, oh, we'll have you unalived. They talk crazy now about killing or dying. They talk crazy. It's adversary to being righteous about speech and talking and keeping things on the up and up and balanced amongst your fellow mankind and fellow men, to be balanced, to not make new words up that mean the same thing, but you're taking any type of you're taking any type of value out of life by saying unaliving somebody. Like, you're not, you know, like, okay, that's the easy way, that's the nice way to kill me or kill somebody. You say, I'm going to unalive you. Like, what the hell is that, right? But this is how they speak these days. In different other types of ways these young people are speaking that desensitizes them towards other people's life. And then you got the video games. I mean, a lot of people don't like to put a lot of weight into video games and say that it doesn't have much effect on someone's psyche. But again, in some of those video games, you know, see, when I talk to the young people, they challenge me on the stuff that I say. They're like, oh, well, how's a video game affecting me and all this? And I'll say, well, you don't see how it's doing it to you now, but if the Grand Theft Auto, which has been around a real long time now, started out moderately just carjacking people to the point where now it's really doing some real crazy stuff in the video altogether, even killing people and stuff. The first parts of it didn't kill people much. But at this point where it is, it's like, okay, take them out the car and do all this other stuff and kill and do all this other stuff to rape them and all this other stuff, right? So it's always advancing and taking it to the next extreme. So, yeah, when you were talking about humans and how our people are and how what's going on and the psyche of our people, even if I'm driving down the street and I'm driving to support actually not breaking the law. So I'm trying to drive the speed limit somewhat. I'm definitely trying to hit all my stop signs. I'm trying to stop at all the lights, even right there to the line where you're supposed to stop at. I'm trying to stop right there to the line, okay? And every time when I'm trying to do everything right, nobody else is trying to do anything right around me. It's people doing all kinds of other stuff. So I'm trying to do things the right way. I'm personally, you know, I'm driving the speed limit. I'm making sure I'm not going to run the red light. I'm looking around. I'm trying to show courtesy to other people who may need me to give them a okay if they want to get in my lane or go into another lane or something to switch. You know that I'm gonna be courteous and give you that leeway or whatever you need to do, or if you get to the stop sign first and I get there, or you might say, oh, you go ahead, and I say, no, you go ahead. So we're trying to offer courtesy to each other. That's the right thing to do. But then when you doing the right thing and then people all around you are just doing all kinds of other stuff, you get up to the light and they here comes somebody pulling up to the right or left of you, and they can't stop where that white line is where you're supposed to stop. They got to go a whole car ahead of that and stop up there, and now they're in the crosswalk where people supposed to walk if the pedestrian want to walk. So now they're in that the light turn yellow and then red. They keep going on through the light. I don't stop. They just keep people running the red lights all the time. You get to a stop sign. There's somebody on my bumper and everything. I'm stopping at the stop sign. They blowing the horn at me because I'm trying to obey the law. I'm going to make a left turn with a left lane, and there's a right lane. You can only go left or right. Somebody, as I'm going to make my left, they make a whole nother lane on another left, extra left, which ain't a left. It's the other lane going the other way. But they jumped out there to do the left in the rain while it's raining. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on? Why everybody can't just obey some laws? They can't obey simple little laws. And all I'm saying, N-word. This is make you say N-word, because that's what's happening to me. All this is N-words doing this. That's how I see it. Like, okay, I don't see myself as that. So I'm trying to be the stand-up black man, obey the law, do the right thing. But no, everybody else is going crazy, you know, some N-word stuff. So it's just ridiculous. Like, It's like, oh, I'm not even trying to do anything right or obey any laws or anything. Forget the laws. Forget any law. Forget about all of that. I don't know where to go with that. You know, it's crazy out there. You know, like people just doing anything and not caring about nothing but they self and their idiotic ways. And there's a whole bunch of people off into that. And they make the rest of the good people feel messed up about, like, just trying to be good or do right, and everybody else is doing all this crazy stuff around us. So that's all I can say about that right now. But, yeah, humans are on a downgrade, and hopefully in 2024, that whole number 20 2-4, like it's a switch off from 2-3, right? So it's got to be different. Like something can come from this, like in a good way, instead of all of this ignorant stuff going on. Nobody care. Everybody want to be a lawbreaker all the time and all this. We can get back to righteousness where people look out for each other and try to like have less accidents and stuff, have less stupid things happen to you because you being a fool and you tearing up your car because you too impatient and you don't have no patience. No, you know, everything is just a rush. Rush to rush, or you're rushing to tear up your vehicle. That's what I see. They all tearing up their vehicle. You look at all these beat up cars out here, these brand new cars. They heading to the cemetery because people are idiots out here. They can't, they don't, you know, they don't, I don't know if the movies are making them feel like their cars are invincible. Because they watch so many movies, they see Fast and the Furious, the cars, they always be able to scoop past stuff and get through here and all. They got all the same cars, too, out here, these stupid cars from Fast and the Furious. And they're making all the noise and doing the donuts and doing all this crazy stuff with them. So, hopefully 2024, it'll be something where people will start to get tired of the old thing and do something different and do something right instead of continuing to be an idiot and be doing the wrong thing and always trying to do a shortcut or get over or get by. And next thing you know, you in the ditch. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Thanks, yes, my brother.
All right. No thing, brother. Yes, sir. Take it. What do you say? What do you say in the church? Take your time. Take your time. Take your time, real. Mm-hmm. Take your time. But I got. I got a couple of little informational clips in here a little bit to kind of give us a little break on sad. So let's talk. Let's let Perlet inspirational clip. Here's a young brother. We want to go to the, what do you say, from the mouth of babes. There's a video right here from YouTube. I mean, not YouTube. Sorry, Instagram. From the mouth of babes. Let's check this out. Let me see. Let me get the sound right, y'all. Uh-oh. Hold up.
It's a kid.
Okay, let me try it again. Oh, man. Don't tell me I deleted it. Ah, yep. I unbookmarked it. Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. Here we go.
It's this kid.
Maybe I get it right in a minute, y'all.
I just came from the park. It's this kid teasing me because I have felons on. Now, mind you, I am not a material person. I just wear felons because, you know, I like the color. I think they're cool. They might not be what's popular today, but, you know, that's what I like. So, you know, I told the kid, it's not about what I have on my feet. It's about what I have inside my head. No matter what I'm wearing, no matter what I have on, it's about my information, the knowledgeable things in life. These sneakers are not even going to fit you in 20 years from now. So it's about what you have in your mind, your wisdom, your knowledge, the power to inspire others. And parents, please don't raise your children like the materialistic type, because, you know, once they don't have Jordans on or cool clothes, they're going to feel like they're not important. They're going to feel like they need the golden or the Jordans or the cool stuff, the popular stuff, to make them feel important.
Wow, I like that video. And this the little boy that was on the video, he looked like he may be about 11 or 12 years old on that video.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I like that one. And even with that, man, I'm going to say this right there. Then I get another video. Got probably two I'm going to throw in here. And that's one thing I thought about, man. I was like, when I became of age as an adult, I thought about, like I said, my mom when I was growing up, I was like, man, you know, my mom would always say, well, I can't afford this stuff. You know, like, I'm trying to think of the time. I can't think what was actually out. I didn't even have a pair of Converse. I don't even think I ever had a pair of Converse. Boy, I can't afford that. You know, she might take me to Payless and stuff like that, get me those Pro Wings. Y'all remember them Pro Wings back in the days, man, and stuff like that?
Yes, sir.
We call No Name, Bobos. I don't know if y'all had those names up north and stuff. But just No Name shoes and stuff like that. And so, but I never was able to get, you know, those name brand things and nothing like that. But when I became of age and grown, as we say, I appreciate that, because you know what? Like the young brother said, I'm not into all this material stuff. I don't care about name brand this and name brand that. I don't care about none of that stuff, man. I don't. That's why, you know, a lot of that, none of that stuff don't faze me. And I really appreciate, I don't know if she might have been saying that, maybe because she maybe couldn't afford it, or maybe it was to not get me into the materialistic stuff. I don't know. You know, I had got a Michael Jackson Thriller jacket one time when I was young. I did get it, get a chance to get one of those. but even now I'm young, I'm older. I tell y'all, man, I got a pair of Shaq tennis shoes in my closet. I went to Shoe Carnival one day. They got all the Nikes and all that bull crap. Man, I saw the Shaq Diesel shoes. They already cheap as it is. Hell, but they had them on sale, $20. Man, that was my shoe. I still got them right now. And I got some Nikes and Fila's in the closet. I got a brand new Fila's. My wife got me about 2 weeks ago. Never put them on. I grab them Shaqs when I get ready to go out. $20 Shaqs. Shit, man, I don't be thinking about no damn. I'm telling you, I don't care nothing about none of this stuff, man.
Me either, brother.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the young brother put that out. Man, that's good. And yeah, that was wrong to... Go ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead. I said that was decent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what's wrong, what's happening today, brothers. It's like we talk about a lot of stuff. People trying to go out here. You see, like, sisters all on these videos. I got to have Fendi, Prada, Gucci, all of these other things that's, basically y'all will say, owned by white folks, and we killing each other to get this old crazy stuff. It's just ridiculous, man. Come on. Like brother said, though, and I like what the young brother said, those shoes that you get won't even fit you 20 years from now. But the key, what he was saying, get the knowledge. That knowledge you have will last forever. It will take you around the world. The information that you get is what's key. It will get you around the world. It will get you those clothes. It will get you everything that you need in life. But them shoes, they're going to get you. They're going to be gone after a while. You people buying Jordans, what, $200-$300 Jordans or whatever they get, and hell, they don't last worth a damn. They don't last that long at all. And then only y'all paying $200-$300 for a pair of shoes cost about in manufacturing probably 10, maybe less than 50, maybe $15 to manufacture the shoes, but you paying $400-$500 for some damn shoes. Come on, y'all. Mm-hmm. Come on. Got to do better. But get the damn knowledge in your head. Here's a video on real interesting. Here's, y'all might say, crazy-ass satanic Marilyn Manson, as I might say. But Marilyn Manson was saying, Marilyn Manson said, black people were gods. Because we put the, could we continue to keep saying in the past tense, or can we say in the present tense too? Because it says were. Let's see what Marilyn Manson said, y'all. Check this out. Oh, damn, my bad. I got the volume down. Come on, Ariel. Get it right. Get it right. You can't get right tonight, brother.
Y'all white people. White people are rotten. And black people are just like them. Because you've made them just exactly like you. They walk like you. They talk like you. Everything they do is like you. They want to be you so much. They love your woman more than you do. They know your mind better than you. They wear your clothes. They've even learned to wear your shoes. You take them out of the jungle, and you want to make them into a man. Why couldn't they be left to be God? Why you want to make them into a man? In the jungle, they were God. And over here, everybody thinks them old black people are just dumb old colored folks. But they're not dumb old colored folks. They're very smart. They're very aware. And the capacity for fear is three times what yours.
Dang, could you hear that pretty good? I know it had a lot of noise in there, but could you hear that pretty good, Justin?
Yeah, pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that Marilyn Manson speaking?
Yeah, that was a video brother played with Marilyn Manson talking, and he was talking about how white. I'll play it again. I should have had a noise cancellation, but it was on Instagram. But he was saying how white people are so evil. And the only part I don't like how he was saying black people was in the jungle. You know, that's it. But that's a speculative out for a white man anyway. But what he was saying, he said you try to take them out of the jungle and make them a man. when they was left alone, they were gods. Let me say it again. He said, you tried to take them out of, I'm going to play it again. You tried to take them out of the, you took them out of the jungle to try to make them a man. When they were left alone, they were gods. Damn. That's what he said. But let me play it again, brother. I hate there's a lot of distortion in it, but he said something key in that. Take it. Let's go again.
Y'all white people. White people are rotten. And black people are just like them. Because you've made them just exactly like you. They walk like you. They talk like you. Everything they do is like you. They want to feed you so much. They love your woman more than you do. They know your mind better than you. They wear your clothes. They've even learned to wear your shoes. You take them out of the jungle, and you want to make them into a man. Why couldn't they be left to be God? Be God.
We're bagging up. Dude,
they wear your clothes. They've even learned to wear your shoes. You take them out of the jungle, and you want to make them into a man. Why couldn't they be left to be God? Why you want to make them into a man? In the jungle, they were God.
In the jungle, they were God.
And over here, everybody thinks them old black people are just
God. Yeah, that's cold. But you say white people are rotten. He said white people are rotten. And he said, black people are just like you because you made them like you. That's, boy, that's Charles Manson right there, man. Got to be more careful. Here's our brother, Brother Nori, talking about music. And I'm saying this one for last because I know Brother Joseph probably want to get in on this conversation on this one. Take us out. Here's Brother Nori from the Nation of Islam.
In the 90s, all the main hip-hop stars were rapping conscious. So there was the Brand Nubians, it was the Four Righteous Teachers, it was Ice Cube, it was Arrested Development, it was X-Clan, it was Queen Latifah. Black was in. So whenever the enemy seen that, wait a minute, this is not just some mumbo jumbo over top of some stolen instrumentals from jazz beats. This hip hop thing really has sway over people and can shape and mold public opinion. They can create a revolution with this rap. So they seen that as the dominant artists had an alliance with consciousness and the nation, they seen a transformation taking place among black people. Black people wasn't eating no pork. X caps everywhere. African medallions everywhere. Brother and sister. Everybody was talking about struggle, freedom, independence, doing for self. And they knew that they couldn't allow that to remain in existence. So they hijacked conscious, inserted gangster. Now you got drill and selling dope, womanizing and abusing, and verbal pornography is the new style of music now. Why? Because they know music is the most effective teacher on the planet. Ain't nothing more effective of teaching than music. The minister said this. He said, one good rap song is worth more than 1,000 of my speeches.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Yeah. Ooh.
That's fire.
I don't know. I can't say the best for that. Damn. I seen that. I got to say that one for Justice right there. I know that because he on the mute. I know Justice won't talk about that music. What do you think about that one, brother? Not what you think. I already know. But what you want to spit out there? What do you want to spit some lyrics on there?
I agree how what Brother Nori was speaking, and you know it's even much more deeper than he kind of tried to lay it out, because the rap music that I was experiencing in the mid to late 80s was all kind of phenomenal music. And it was always every year advancing itself, both with the beats and with the lyrics. So every year it was more phenomenal things happening in the music, and different elements of it was coming together. And from what I was experiencing and seeing, and from all of the positivity from that type of music in that short era, made me believe that if it continued at that level that it was on, which was raising the consciousness of our young people at the time about all kinds of things having to do with ourselves and each other and hip-hop music, that in 8 to 10 years, I felt that everyone would be so enlightened and so awake and so much more strong in their mindset and our mental abilities to connect with each other and ultimately reach the aspect of peace that we were looking for in the music in the first place. Because the music was an alternative to fighting each other with knives and guns in the street. So the music was giving us an outlet where we can challenge each other lyrically and expressions of dancing as well, and also DJing and MCing. So if you can challenge each other in a way where you're saying something that is new, different, and maybe never even heard before, that is something that you got a lot of credit for. And someone else who you may have had maybe a rival with may take something to another next level of saying something that you, and no one's ever heard it quite that way before. And the beat, maybe there's a new type of beat. And so the advancement of hip-hop from 85 to 90 was just going out of the world. It was just on a quest in an upward way, like going up or going forward, you know, like up in a good way, in a positive direction. And so, you know, like I said, with everybody on the same type of hip-hop beat level and just that hip-hop beat that it's a particular beat that it's just a street beat and it's just like, it's just dope, right? And so you can mix anything with that dope beat. You can mix some jazz in there with it and it still sound dope and even sound even better. Like even you can probably throw some blues in there and still get the same thing. So anything you might mix with the hip-hop beat is going to enhance whatever you had before. Whatever came before and it was just done on a regular beat or not a beat with a lot of bass and some treble, then that song usually gets enhanced or gets taken to another level and rebirthed again in the hip-hop beat because it may have had its life and then it may have had its death as well. But if hip-hop ever was to interact with that same song maybe 10, 20 years later, sometimes a little longer than that, in that particular era of creativity in hip-hop, where these particular DJs would go into the crates of their parents and find all kinds of records that had never really been a big record in the day, but it was a song on a person's album that may have not been that popular, but that particular DJ can find something about that song or in that song that he can bring over and put it in a hip-hop beat, and now that song has gotten rebirthed from now being brought into the hip hop. So that artist that, you know, from 57, who might have been doing the twist, and then the twist died down, and then somebody in hip hop maybe put a beat out with the twist on it, like, and they brought the twist to do the twist with the hip hop over it. So now the twist sound hot again. The twist is like got a hip hop dope beat to it instead of that first beat that the twist had. Like, let's twist again like we did last summer. You know, that was real just plain, right? But then you get a hip hop beat and it, let's piss again. Like you get that beat with the let's twist again, like we did last summer off of that. Like when you got that, no matter what you put with that hip hop beat, it's gonna sound incredible. So you advance that beat too. That beat turns into something like a unorthodox beat, which Big Daddy Kane brought. And from him bringing that unorthodox beat into the picture with this song called Raw, that was like something that had gotten rebirthed from back in the day that we had never heard as young people. But again, that DJ went in the crates and found that thing that made that beat unorthodox, but still on the same right beat. But it was just like a James Brown beat now, in the sense where, okay, it's on some on the ones and twos. So it's on the ones and twos instead of the threes and fours. And so now you got that. And so from all of that creativity and nobody outside of the people who was making the music, which was like, let's say the three people who was involved, the DJ and the rapper and his friend, the other rapper. So you had a whole lot of groups that started out like that. The Treacherous Three, Houdini, you know, that's a group right there. Run DMC, that's a group right there, right? So you had EPMD, you have different groups. And again, if you look at those groups and all of that, there was somebody up there who had this plan. This is when they started making the plan. Well, we got to bust up this rap shit. We got to stop this. If they keep going with this positive rap, everybody would be so smart and woke, and then we wouldn't even be able to do nothing to them. So we got to put them to sleep. So let's stop with all these groups. How you divide these groups up and conquer them. Every group got divided and conquered. Everybody was going solo after a while. All these groups, you know, the better rapper of them went solo. And the other one either flopped or he survived. But the better one always went solo. And this is how they broke up a lot of the R&B groups the same way. The same way, the same kind of method, the same playbook. You take away the best one and let them groups go to hell, because them groups are saving them people. All them groups is keeping them alive. It's all family. It's all love right there. We don't want all that. We want less of that. Okay? Jackson 5, all that. That was the most beautiful family, brothers singing and stuff, a whole group of people, and everybody loved the Jackson 5. What'd they do? Oh, well, this got to come to an end. They can't just keep doing this. Like, no, let's just take Michael, and that's it. He going to go solo. And he going to be the biggest thing in the world. And the other brothers, they done. Now it's all about him. Now let's whiten his ass up. Let's chop off his nose. Bleach his skin. Whiten up his mind even more. And then his followers going to be doing some of the same thing he do, because the whole plan is to drive him crazy and take away your culture and your roots and your understanding of who you are as, just, you know, as a man, a black man, a woman, and totally mess us all up through the music. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of aspects of how to tear us up through our music. And in those days where I was saying that, yeah, this is the best days of hip-hop between 85 and 90. And then when 90 came in, they had the plan, that, okay, let's start to dismantle this thing. Or, you know, let's come up with how we going to introduce other ways of thinking as a young black people to not just always think positively. let's show them how to kill and how to commit crimes or at least talk about it. Let them talk about all that kind of stuff and then glorify that kind of stuff and that kind of behavior. And Tupac, he got out there in the forefront after NWA came out and was really just talking about what was real in California, how they was being treated, how they were perceived, and how they had it bad because they was brown. Like just telling the truth about the life as a, you know, living in the urban community, having to choose a side as a gang, Crips and Bloods, and just the whole understanding of like, okay, why they do what they do or how they live. That was just something that was just real and true. So it wasn't like, to me, it didn't seem like they were over glorifying the reality that they were living in. And so I didn't have a problem with that particular flavor of music. But at some point, then it began to, that word you used earlier, it began to downgrade when you start talking about Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg introducing their albums, one of them, The Chronic, and then Snoop Dogg had his own album, The Dogs, Doggy something, whatever it was back then. And these were the ones that were going to lead the way to hip-hop starting to go in a more negative direction. Yeah, that's when that happened. When Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg came out with that Chronic 2000, that's when things really started to go downhill. So the music has been like a weapon towards our people to take us away from the gods. Like, yeah, Marilyn Manson, if we's left alone in our hip-hop, he can see where we wasn't disrespecting ourselves and each other in the music in that time, in that period of time at all. You had different people who were different groups, like Heavy D and the Boys, Salt and Pepper, LL Cool J, Run DMC. You had Eric B and Rakim. You had all of these great rappers and how they had their own style. They didn't have an image of killing each other or being gangsters. They were known as being great musicians, great lyricists, great singers or rappers, just great at what they were doing, absolutely great. If they was rapping and you walked up and they said, okay, you rap, I ain't rapping after them because that's how good they were. Now, these fools today on the radio, you could walk up after them and they say, okay, you rap, and you probably going to sound way better than them. That's the time we living in now. But back then, these dudes was incredible how they rapped. It was their minds, what they was rapping about and the things that they were saying to a beat to make it sound unbelievable and just take it to the next level type stuff. That's phenomenal, man. So, yeah. It's unfortunate that, yeah, we weren't left alone, Mr. Manson, because if y'all didn't come in there and take over the music industry and control our black people's development and control what we want or how we view ourselves, because initially it was for the love of hip-hop. It wasn't for money and wealth and fame and your soul and sell your soul for fame and fortune. Not what it was for or about. That's not what we got into this thing for now. But look at what they did. Like Marilyn Manson said, those whites are wicked or evil, and they made the black people the same way. And that's what this music is representing right now. What he said. They did this to our people. Okay.
Yes, sir. Hey, brother, I mean, could you, I got one thing. We got about 9.5 minutes. We're going to go in overtime, though. We got 9.5 minutes, brothers and sisters. Y'all want to call in? You want to go into the overtime show with us tonight as we get ready to end this new year? So, yeah, we will be going over like 9 minutes. So you can call in at area code 319-527-6068. One more time. That area code is 319. It's 527-6068 for the overtime. 9 minutes. You want to come on in here and finish listening to the show, the information that we're presenting as we get ready to end 2023. But I just want to play, before we do this, before we go into overtime, I want to let y'all hear this one here. Since Justin was talking about this music and things, let's go back to a little X-Clan right fast. Y'all take a little musical break while we got these 9 minutes. Let's play a little X-Clan talk about Heed the Word to My Brother. Yes, sir.
It's the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way, exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother. Sippy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, the paragraph. Heed masters, day begins class. The science of past is now brought to the rhyme fish. From the scroll, state to the birthday. God to God, some God to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant. Now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to let the army see? For the father never pause, as simply as a brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world and the instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 3 degrees. Comprehend, a man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time too shorter. Forever radiant awareness, voice forth the one. Open eyes, stroke sun. Practicing priest, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to leave. Born from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must be aggression to learn a basic lesson. Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. However, crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell. Bringing hell to the cell out. Forever tangled, web we weave. Always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice. Never potential, caught up in the measure. Jealousy. Of what are we? Become tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool. But no need to pull the trigger, that's a fool. I get my words like that in my school. To produce the words that they fool about. It's another way of shaking out these sissies. Who may try to extinct my principality. But of course not having any madness. From beginning out the end, observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon, for a few seconds, pull the reins. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a foresight verse. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize the clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you native from the lick. Jam brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one bang glorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal application, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And neither my demand makes stone move forward. Corrupt all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it arc is a key. Black is a color while blackness state of a mind state. But how many of you say? Today, Brother J can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it say I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear a purpose. Step to the mic and stage area as I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and plays in the center. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of God.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step on.
Yes, 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 yes.
Man. Now, this is how you do it. What is that, y'all? This is how we do it.
Ooh, oh, man. Bruh. You just gave me my song for the night when I get ready to play some brand Nubians and some X-Clan tonight. Mm-hmm.
Man, just looking at that video, bruh. Oh, I'm looking at the video, y'all, because that's what I'm playing on YouTube. And just looking at the videos, I'm playing it. Oh man, it just bring back memories just watching them and just seeing how they was dressed.
They make you feel proud somewhat, right, bro?
Man, had the crown on, you know, with the unk and how they was dressed in the African garments, and then you seeing the different sceneries they was playing in the background, showing Sister Harriet Tubman, Grandma Moses, and man, Alan Clayton Powell, them, and it just, oh man, I'm telling you. Teddy,
see, and look, that was all done by our people, man, without anybody messing with it. Like, nobody coming in saying, all right, you got to put up the checkered floor here, and you need to put up some Baphomet things and put one eye covered up and all this stuff. This is way before all of that. This is when we controlled our own destiny in our music.
Yes, sir. And like I said, listen to the – that's why I played it all the way out, because you'll listen to what they was talking about. It was educational, like the young brother on the other clip saying, the knowledge. It was educational. And that music, that's what it was doing. It was educating us. Because I remember when I started listening to it, man, I got into this music. I remember the De La Soul and all of this stuff. I was like, wow, that's when they used to talk, you know, when they used to mess with me, talk about that I used to listen to 8-Ball, MJG, them, man. I was up north music, bro. I was East Coast music. Damn 8-Ball, MJG there, man. I wasn't on no damn pimps and player.
You stand 10 toes down on that. You was about some East Coast rap and not that down south stuff.
Yes, sir. I'm Jungle Brothers and stuff like that, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
on that. I was on that, bro. I didn't even know who Nation Gods and Earth were, but I was listening to the music, you know, with the brother, Poor Righteous Teachers, man. I was on that type of stuff, man. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I met the brother from Trenton. I met his younger brother. Yeah, one of the rappers there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, man, see, that's what I'm talking about. And that right there is what they don't want our people to have today and listening to. It's like Brother Norris said, they have this music. It's crazy. You just even listen to it, the trap music. They got your trap music, and then they got drill music. They trapping you, putting you in a trap, and then once they trap you, they drilling this poison into your mind. They said again, y'all, they putting you in a trap, trapping you, but you can't move, you can't go nowhere, and then they drilling that crazy stuff in your head. You know how they've shown people how they try to break them? They'll put them in a room somewhere and put on some damn elevated music, some kind of music to make them go crazy and lose their damn mind. I don't know if y'all ever saw this movie. What was that movie? 1984? I think that was the name of that movie. About Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And that's how they broke that guy. They put him in that room and they kept playing that music over and over and over again until they broke him. Yeah, that's what they're doing with this. They trapping you with the damn music, then they drilling this stuff in you. And that's why some of us seeing the people, their mentality, somehow people, their mentality, how they're acting, how they're behaving. People don't ever want to realize it's the music. People want to argue with you down. But most of the people who argue with you, oh, it ain't the music, bro. It ain't the music. And the reason they argue with you because they listening to that type of stuff. That's why. They listen to that music.
They want to defend it.
There you go. That's why they so offensive, because that's
and drill music is kill music.
Yes, sir. That's the worst of the worst. Man, that's the worst of the worst. I'm telling you, man. Make NWA sound like choir boys. You know, choir boy from Fire Heartbeat. they sound like Lee Williams in the Spiritual QCs. I ain't lying, man. That's the shit. I mean, excuse me, y'all. Oh, man. And what's getting me today? Go ahead, brother.
I was gonna say we gotta shout out Chief Rabbi David Israel and see if we could get him on one night with me on here with you.
Well, I had to tell you that off the air what's going on with that one. But yeah, that's another subject. Yeah. That's one of them. What you call it? What's that show used to come on? Behind the scenes. Well, it was some show. I don't know. I forgot the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Behind the music show. Type. Yeah, but you had the show Behind the Music, what happened to all the artists behind, and where y'all don't
speak. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of them shows. I tell you, ain't no bad blood, you know, but yeah, shout out to Dave, Shalom, to David Israel. Yeah, Shalom. I had to tell you about it. I was going to say, it was something about that music. Ah, shoot, I forgot. But yeah, it, like I said, man. And then, like I said, because you were talking about the trap music and stuff like that. This
the drill is the kill.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I'm glad the Israelite music. This is what get me now with a lot of my brothers in the Israelite community. You know, for me, I like it. And I have to listen to a lot. I ain't going to lie, bro. I have to listen to a lot of gospel sometimes, gospel music. In every, y'all know, y'all heard me say it time and time again, that I am what y'all call and the people say Old Testament only, right? I don't subscribe to the Jesus thing and believe the Messiah and all of that stuff, right? Y'all hear me quote some things from the New Testament. I got to do a class on that too. How can I be Old Testament and still quote some out of the New Testament? Yeah, I got to do a class on that one. Yeah, I seriously, bro, because somebody tried to ask me that before, say something to that about that, like, and I gotta get into that. And it's a deep subject. It ain't deep. It's simple, but some people with simple minded won't understand it. But anyway, they don't understand this is literature. But that's why I'm gonna go into a whole class. But that's another subject. What I'm seeing today is like, it's hard pressed, bro, to find like an Israelite music where they're singing, actually singing, bro. Everybody even in the Israelite community, they want to rap, bro. They want to rap, and they still like the same type of beats and, you know, instrumental. They all want to rap. It's hard pressed for me to find some chorus, somebody singing, even in the Israelite community. I'm like, damn, I'm still stuck with this rap. Like I said, you know,
right.
I basically got to go back and listen to me some. Like I said, Lee Williams and some singing people on that end, because I can't even get it from the Israelite community. And most of them anyway, they, you know, you got some Torah only who do rap too. But for far as for me getting some singing, I had to go to some gospel music. You know, and I listen sometimes to, you know, some of the rap. And I'm going to play one of them. I like this here, brothers and sisters. This is one of the brothers, too, from, I think he's from the group Israel United in Christ. I think this brother's from this group here. And I like this song. Now, even though he's a messianic. And there's certain things I have to listen to with him, because there's not a lot from Tanakh only or Old Testament only brothers who have all of them rapping any damn way. But I'm saying there's a few songs that sisters were singing that they did have one sister that they were singing. But check this out. I do like this one right here. I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's 4 minutes and some. Yeah, 4 minutes and some. But I like this one. And this is, I take this one personally. My wife be looking at me sometimes. I'll be outside. I'll be playing this one. I'll be singing. She look out there and see me dancing and singing this song. Like, she just laughed. But I take this out, y'all. Take this out. Let me see. Let me pull this one up. I like this one. This is my theme song.
Man, y'all know what I done been through. I done been through a lot. Over the years, blood, sweat, and tears. Blood, sweat, and tears. But I'm still living. I thank the Most High. Hey, all praise.
I done came a long way.
Pain, the suffer, the strife.
I done came a long way.
Through the hate, the faking, and I done overcame it all cause I'm patient.
I done came a long way.
I used to didn't have no understanding. Now I follow law, statutes, and commandments.
I done came a long way.
I thank the Lord that he let me see the day. It's a blessing I can be
I done came a long way. I love that, Justin.
Yeah, that sounds all right with me.
I done came a long way.
I came a long way. I'm trying to let him get into some little lyrics a little bit, and I cut it out.
I done came a long way from living a life of crime. Do it all, I think the most high, I ain't have to do no time. I could have been dead in jail, but hey, look at me now. Used to be conformed to the world till I renew my mind. I gotta be strong in the Lord and never let up. No matter if I fall sometimes, long as I get up. No matter how hard it get, regardless if I'm fed up. No matter the situation, I gotta keep my head up. Cause it's a greater reward whenever you're living right. The kingdom of God is in you, but is you willing to fight? You gotta be willing to come out of darkness and come to the light. I went from blind to having sight.
I
done came a long way.
I like that one, y'all. I done came a long way. Yeah, just get y'all on this shelf. But see, that's the type of music when I ain't gonna lie, y'all. When I be at work sometime and I just in them moods and I need a little uplift, I have that in my ear. I put something like that in my ear, you know. So yeah, so that's what I listen to, you know, because it's still, again, it's the lyrics, it's what they're saying, the message in it. It's the message. See how the brothers talk about, like, and it's, for me, I like that song because it's personal too for me, because I see how I've came a long way, my own life.
Right.
So that's why I like that song, because I know how I have truly came a long way. So that's when I listen to that, man, I'd be outside just rocking out on it, jamming. And it's because
damn, they crip walking on that, John. I know,
man. Yeah. I like that. I said it to you. It's on that's through SoundCloud.
Yeah, I like it because he talked like you know, like with the southern twang and that, and then he just keeping it all way real, and he tell you what he bought now, and like he just keeping it all the way 100. As far as I'm concerned, you know how he talk. You know, that's how he talk.
Yes, sir. And the brother name, the song is called Long Way by Isaiah Judah. Let me get a brother shout out right there on SoundCloud. It might be on YouTube, I'm not sure, but I hadn't looked it up, but I follow on SoundCloud. It's called Long Way by Isaiah Judah right there on SoundCloud. Oh, wow. Anybody else want to get there and check that out? Yeah, man. So, you know, we got to have some positive. You got to keep some positive and stuff like that. All right. Okay. We could kind of, we don't go all the way back to T.D. Jakes, but still, again, kind of like what we're seeing is that you can't be in the company or even keep negativity in your earways and think, or watching negativity and think it won't affect you. So it's just like what we're seeing with Jakes. Even if he didn't do it, right? Didn't do anything he's accused of being, what he was accused of. It's still the company that you keep. Mama always told us. Y'all know I always got to take it back to mama, right? I got to always take it back to mama. And may the peace and blessing be on my mother's soul as well. But I always got to take it back to the home training. We can say your parents, but, you know, I just like to say mama, y'all. Mama. Is that mama used to tell you too, didn't you? Watch the company that you keep. Don't be hanging out with them little badass boys. I don't want you hanging with them little... Mama, them my friend. No, boy, I don't care. Them little boys, they're some trouble. Them little boys going to get you in some trouble one day. I'm telling you now, I don't want you hanging out. You still going out, hanging out with them. And then one of these days, you might not be with them, but they going in breaking Uncle Jones' house. You know, Mr. Jones stay down the street breaking his house or something, steal his change or something, you know. Remember now, y'all the young folk, y'all are probably about 12, 13 years old. They going out here and breaking his house, stealing stuff. You weren't even with them. But everybody in the neighborhood know all y'all hang together. So one day you just walking down the street, you know, going about your business, going to the store, whatever. Here come Mr. Jones, catch you. Take a one of them right there. Take a one of them right there. That's the little badass right there. And they, you know, probably police came, and they caught you and they grabbed you. Yeah, I know y'all broke in my house. No, sir, I didn't break in your house. Yes, you do. You be hanging with them little badass boys. I know you did it. I know you was with them. And see, you get caught up, get sent to juvenile and all that stuff, and you got to go through the whole channel of it, knowing it wasn't you, But see, you got caught up because you've been hanging. That's the kind of crowd you've been around. Everybody know you hang with them type of people. You've been hanging around them same. Everybody know them the badass boys. Everybody know them the boys in the neighborhood. Bad as I don't know what. And so now you don't got your ass caught up. Now you got to go through the process of proving that you weren't the one that was with them when they broke in Mr. Jones' house. So it's like with the situation with T.D. Jakes and all. And now you got to go through the thing of proving that I ain't down with the sexual bull crap that he with. But see, you've been hanging around him. See, home training goes a long way, even when you're grown, y'all. So quit hanging, as I was reading this, the Bible verses earlier. You can't be hanging around with these type of people. Negativity, like I said, just even with the music, we can take it, it's not just hanging with people, but negativity and all of that stuff. You cannot, if you want to be a positive person, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. Stay away from it, because I'm telling you, you might not think things affect you. One of these days, though, it will catch up with you. It will catch up with you. Stay away from these people, brothers and sisters. If y'all know these people ain't no damn good, stay away from them. Because we see this a lot of times too, right? And this is a bad thing. This is a real tragedy that does happen. You might have a little homie that you kick it with again. Now you're grown maybe now, but you got a homie you kick it with. Everybody know he's a neighborhood robber, carjacker, or whatever. And maybe he went out one night, because everybody know y'all kick it, y'all homies. And, you know, you cool, though. You don't do none of that stuff, but they know that's your homie. And he go out and he rob some other neighborhood dope boys, steal their car and everything else. So they can't find him. They can't find him. So, hey, man, I know where his homie stay. What? You do? Yeah, I know his homie stay down the street. Oh, okay. Let's go get his ass then. They come and take it out on you. Because you affiliated with them. Now, we see that all the time. We do know that happened, right? Don't y'all know that happened? Mm-hmm. Family members, they do it. So that's why I said, watch the company you keep. Like folks say, you ain't got, like old folks sometimes, hey, you ain't got to be the one that go out here and get in trouble. You ain't got to do nothing. Sometimes trouble come to you because of who you hanging with. Death will come to you sometime because of who you affiliating yourself with. I don't care how mean y'all grew up together. Sometimes you got to cut people loose. You got to cut some people loose. Like I said, my two guys I used to hang with, told y'all the story 1,000 times. I had to stop going around them. I used to go through the crowd hood, but every time I go through there, my partner named Bay. He dead now. His actual name was Jonathan. And we used to call him Bay. No, man, he was on that dope real bad, that heroin. Damn, got on that heroin bad. I used to hate to go through the neighborhood, man, because I see him. Man, come take me over here, man. Come take me this, then go. I'm like, nah, bro, I can't do that, brother. Hell nah, I ain't going to get in. So, man, and, you know, last time I seen the brother, I was actually in jail for hanging out for child support, and he was in there for something, assault or something. And his brother had recently had got killed by it, maybe 2-3 months ago before while we was in there. And he was like, man, I got to change, man. They killed my brother and this, that, and other. Like, man, yeah, bro. I said, hey, man, bro, we older now, bro. We can't be out there like that. You know, I had already, you know, been away from all that stuff. But I was like, yeah, bro, you know, we got to stop all this stuff, bro. We grown. We got children and all this stuff, man. You know, we can't be out here like we used to. Yeah, bro. And me and him, we'd be in there. I used to be talking Bible to him, showing him Bible scriptures. And yeah, bro, I'm going to get straight out here, man, this time when I get out. So I got out, you know, but then he eventually got out. And the next time I heard from one of the guys that knew us from the hood, hey, man, you heard about Bay? I'm like, nah, I was up. Man, shit, somebody killed Bay. I said, what? I said, yeah, man, Bay got back out, man, got out of jail, man, got back on that dope. Man, somebody dude ran over and killed him. I'm like, damn, they wouldn't change. Mm-hmm. But they told me that. They told me years ago when I had converted to Islam. And when I had, you know, I went to jail and got out, had served some time in the correction center. And I had got out, man. I stopped, you know, practicing Islam. And I used to go through there. And, you know, I sometimes used to be going. Now, I was Sunni, But I used to go visit the Nation of Islam on Friday nights. I used to go to the mosque. No, Wednesdays. Wednesday nights. So I used to go to the mosque. So sometime I go stop by their house. I had my briquet. I tell you, I thought I was Malcolm X Jr., y'all. Y'all would have thought I was Little Malcolm. But I used to have my briefcase and all that, my suit, old man, my little bow tie. Even I wasn't registered as a Nation of Islam. But when I go there, I was dressed, you know, just like they in the attire they would dress. I wouldn't go with the jalabir and all that, like the Arabs. But I was dressed in my suit and tie and stuff. And I go out and visit them and talk to them and stuff. Their mom like, I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you. I wish they would, you know, follow suit and so-and-so. No, I ain't gonna never change. I ain't never trying to change. And they right. They didn't. And both of them are dead. Both of them are dead. Mm-hmm. Left plenty of children behind. But that's the thing. Some people, brothers, like I said, some people, we just got to let them go. I don't care how much we love them, how much we care for them. Sometimes you got to let them go or they will take you down with them. Still trying to say that's your homie, that's your so-and-so. They will take you down with them. So sometimes you got to love them from afar. You love them so much, you got to just let them go. Sometimes it's hard, but shit, if you don't, things might come to you and in a bad way. You know, so as it's a lot that we got to deal with, so brothers and sisters. So, but we got to learn to do better. We got to learn to do better, and especially for our children. It was something else I say, but I'll let Jessica go ahead. But it was something else I was going to say about the children. But I let Jessica come on in. It'll come to him in a minute.
All right. Very well. And, you know, we're speaking about hip-hop tonight, a little something, and this is the end of the year, and this was the year where we had a 50-year celebration of hip-hop, the existence of it. And, you know, growing up, sometimes it might be a certain song from an artist or off of an artist's album that just might have some influence over you lifelong. And so there's this song by LL Cool J called The Power of God. And when I got that, what did we get back then? Tapes. Yeah, the cassette tape. And I put it in my car and listened to it. It was righteous to me. And the beat was just dope and the lyrics was perfect, you know. And I was like, wow. I love everything he said right there about the power of God. So I edited this song down to 4 minutes or just a little less than, if you allow me to play the lyrics of the song.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Cleaned up his act, he stopped smoking crack and took his soul back. Decided he could find a much better way to live. You know the way, positive. Without all the negative chemicals and drugs. Without all the hanging with the envious thug. Never before was a man so far behind. It came back to rule for a long time. Positive will explode when you light me. My enemies left and they held the dagger tightly. Wanted to take my blood, but they got scars when they felt the power of God. Wickedness got crushed when the Lord came down with the king, cause he's evil and vain. He doesn't understand the power of a dream. Doesn't realize and rolling with a team. Avenging angels will come and burn all those who saw but refuse to learn. He has no killer, no shape and no form. And like I told you before, I'm just getting warm. Get up, get down, get on it. It ain't that hard. You can feel the power of God. Money is small and the soul stands tall. All those who don't realize this fall. The mind of a joking fool is a useless tool. And it's cooler being stolen, overcome and overpower, but still uplift. Your mind is a gift to somebody, whether you know it or not. Outside, the weather is hot. People walk around with their minds in a daze. Never take the time to stop and get free. You're lucky. to live in this world. Even the starving boys and girls, cause life is a gift in itself. And only simple people are blessed with good health. I'm Uncle L, but you can call me Tom. I can feel the power of God. And she is the seventh letter made. Yeah, she is the seventh letter made. The power of God. Yeah. The babies, we gotta teach them and hold them, send them to school so we can teach them and mold them, shape them and make them take form. Cause their mind is like a ball of clay when it's wet and warm. Harmless and innocent until they're taught to be violent and militant. This mentality gotta be erased by faith. This whole power is coming, we're close to the eighth. Get a chapter and gain some knowledge. If not from the Bible or Quran, get a book from college. It's not about being black or white. It's about everybody being alright. I pulled out my mic and the devil got hit hard. He felt the power of God. And she is the seventh letter made. Power of God.
How you like that, brother Ariane?
Yes, sir. You got me rocking out to that. I already looked it up. I already have looked it up. Dang, I ain't never heard that one, brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that made me always never forget that song, you know, back then when I first heard it.
Man, he got that, and he had that Big Daddy Kane flow. That's how he kind of flowed like Big Daddy Kane on that one. I was like, wait a minute, hold on, who was that? I know he said L.A. I was like, damn, is that that's Big Daddy Kane though, ain't it? Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir. I like that one. Yes, sir. The power
of God. I appreciate that. I'm glad you liked it. But certain songs growing up, it just like when you brought back that X-Clan tonight, I mean, wow. Just like when you watch the video and it's so much expression in there, right? There's so much going on and so much to just, you know, just soak up and stuff. So that's where hip-hop was and still is. If you could go back and just take some videos and take a look at some of those things, just like what it did to you, it kind of refreshed your cultural roots and your, you know, understanding of how far we've come and to where we are now, and that if we to go back to our roots, then we can reformulate into, you know, not necessarily forget about different things that made us feel good about ourselves and how we could get back to a brotherhood and a sisterhood, you know, of love for ourselves and each other. And so we've fallen pretty far from that right now. So to me, there's always a way where, like I say, 2024, we can change things up. We don't got to keep going down this demonic path. We need to go back to the righteous path that led us to having love for ourselves and each other and care for ourselves and not to want to hurt or kill or violate or do anything to ourselves or each other, and back to protecting ourselves and protecting each other and having love for ourselves and love for each other. And when we see each other, to not see ourselves as our enemies of ourselves anymore. I mean, this has got to stop at some point where we keep viewing ourselves as enemies of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And we don't acknowledge ourselves as a fellow brother or sister anymore. It's like we're only seeing ourselves as enemies of each other, and we refuse to embrace ourselves back how we did before we had this mind funk stopping the whole thing from coming back together. Okay? Yeah. It's a mind funk that's got us caught up where we can't get past that idiotic barrier of the funk. it's a barrier. And it's nothing to kick down, but we got to just do it. That ain't nothing. That's weak. I'll force you to love me. Okay? Somehow it's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Okay? This is it. We got to stop all this imaginary hate towards ourselves.
Man.
And bring back the love. Just open it back up. That's all you got to do. It was open when we got here, and we closed the door on it. So we got to open that door back up. This is just as easy. We just got to just do it. Okay? Just stop all this madness. Stop all this. Stop speaking to people and stop all this. Stop looking at your brother and looking at him with hate and stuff. Stop all this. That's your brother. Okay? Just stop all that. That's all. I'm going to do it, too. I'm going to stop all that, too. And yes, see how I go for 2024. I'm sick of this 2023. It's only a few hours left. That's good. An hour and a half left over here on my end anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, I'm an hour ahead of you, I think. It's 10:30 over here almost. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm, yeah 9:26 over here. Yeah, you're right. Damn. And like you said, you're saying something powerful, brother, because we, like you said, now what the young folks say, the ops. Now, he's the ops. You know, when we used to, when brothers back in the, brothers and sisters in the past say, oh, that's the brother and sister in the struggle. They part of the struggle. That's my brother in the struggle. Now it's like he's an op and all this whole stuff. I don't mess with the ops.
Opposition.
You know?
That's my opposition.
Mm. Yeah. Damn.
Like I was saying earlier, how these new young people are talking and unalive you and all that old mess and this op crap and smoke you like whatever that was, too. It was some kind of thing. It's smoke you in a blunt or some crap.
Mm-hmm. And he,
smoke
and
my op. That's what they say. They roll up my op and smoke them or some crap. I don't know.
It's crazy. And he just a brother and sister in the struggle. It's still, like I said, a brother and sister in the struggle like you because they still, they're doing the same thing. They're struggling, as you might say, for limited sources and resources and all this stuff. They still doing the same thing. They're struggling too, you know. But, man, like I said, bro, we still got a long way to go. But, like I said, we got to get rid of, we got to tear down all of this other foolishness that we're seeing, man, you know. And, okay, I got another one for you, Joseph. But, yeah, we've seen all this damn craziness, man. We got to kill all of this stuff. But I want to play one for Ice Cube right fast. I just seen this one here. Talk about the music and all of this. And this is what
It's New Year's Eve. This music time for me.
Well, this is just a small one. It's just this is a talking clip right here from Ice Cube. And he dropping... because it's kind of going with we've been talking about the music right fast. Here's something.
That's
right
my
fast.
Man.
Brother
That's
Ice
my
Cube.
Man. I love his album. His first album by itself, that was the best.
Yes, sir. But he's letting you know, rap to prison pipeline. Here we go.
Same people who own the labels own the prisons. Literally the same people? Literally the same people who own the labels own private prisons. The records that come out are really geared to push people towards that prison industry.
But they didn't make you write those lyrics.
It's not about making somebody write the lyrics. It's about being there as guardrails to make sure certain songs make it through and certain songs don't. You know, some records are made by committee, meaning record company guys sit around and tell the artists, this is hot, say that. Do this. We're going to have this guy write the lyrics. We're going to have that. You have, you know, the record company pushing the narrative, you know, and somewhat, you know, some social engineering going on here to make sure those prisons stay full.
Wow. Y'all heard that right there from Ice Cube, Brother Ice Cube, who y'all know is a music artist himself. Y'all heard it from him. Yeah. Cold-blooded, ain't it? And so this
I mean,
is why...
it really is.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Damn.
Well, all right, so as I was speaking about NWA and, you know, how they brought and presented their music, then there's going to be the people who own the labels, who own the prisons, who are going to jam you up to make sure you're headed to that pipe, you're headed to that prison from the rap, from the producers or the owners of these labels are suggesting to the young rapper to say, and then promising them a financial gain at the end of it. And so you're going to put out some of the most provocative rappers that are going to say things that are very controversial. And also cross the line on the tradition of how rap had been going. So now you're going to tend to destroy your own self by portraying yourself in a light that is negative as a gangster rapper or as a pimp, a drug dealer. And this is the type of direction that the people who own the rap labels and then they own parts or they own the prisons. And so in order to make money from the prisons, then they want to fill them up because they get subsidies from the government that they get a certain amount of money per year per person they keep locked up every year and everything. And then they get free labor on anything the prisoners do once they get incarcerated. Now it's pretty much free labor where they're paying a prisoner 10 cents a day to do some work. Meanwhile, the prison is making money on the people they have incarcerated that ultimately led them there was through their favorite rappers at some points that became favorite rappers like Tupac, Lil Wayne, you know, these known to be gangster rapper types that people tended to from poor communities, they tend to trend towards listening to them and say how they make their moves or this is what they would do in a situation where if they were selling or doing a trap or whatever, how they say, and then, you know, how they do a trap and then be strapped and then something go down, you know, whatever it is, you know, how they rap. So just saying, just to influence young black men to rap towards a more negative way, then it's destroying the progress that we've made up thus far. So it goes tenfold because now you got people who have got you in a trap for real, where you got to come to them to get a record deal. And then once you get the record deal, they're saying, don't rap positive no more, or don't come in here with a positive rap. Only rap where you calling people names, the B word and the N word, and you talking about guns and shooting and killing and selling drugs. And you call your women a B and a hoe. If you do all of that, then you can stay here and you'll be the biggest sellers that, you know, we're going to put out. But if you come in here with the positive stuff, then okay, we're doing away with that. And so that's what happened. You don't find any positive hip-hop on the radio. And if you do, you think you do. But it's really a satanic subliminal thing happening that you don't understand. So prior to it being negative, I'm talking about hip-hop, prior to it being negative, it was mostly a positive thing, a positive way of expressing yourself over a beat and, you know, some, you know, just over a nice beat and whatnot. So you perform your music and then it'd be on the radio. You hear a lot of good songs and stuff. And in their earlier days, they never could or would play rappers who were cussing on the radio. So like from 81, 82, 83, nobody was trying to come in the rap game cussing and carrying on because already the older people didn't like rap and they thought it wasn't going to be something that's going to have longevity. And so in order for people to get rap played on the radio, they couldn't use a lot of any cuss words at all. It was all about respecting the airwaves at that time in order to get your record played. And so if you were cursing or something, they just couldn't play that on the radio back then anyway. The FCC rules were real strong back then, and nobody was going to tolerate anything like that. So there was a point where music was being done, and it was a while before anybody even said, "Nigga, please, you work for UPS," because they weren't even saying the N-word. They weren't even saying that until a certain point, and where it was just said out of a saying in the neighborhood. Like, people say "nigga please" all the time back then, right? "Nigga please." So this was just something that was dropped in a song from Biz Markie. Okay, so it still was a positive song. So then you got a point where you started to hear the negative songs or the more gangster type songs or songs that were more degrading of ourselves and whatnot, or painting a different image of us that we weren't always having, like a gangster or a pimp or a drug dealer or something, you know, like we weren't always promoting this type of thing. But it came a point where they started to glorify that kind of lifestyle and behavior and image of a black man to be a gangster or a pimp, a drug dealer, a killer, all of that stuff. That was what they wanted to reduce us to, and this is what happened. So now you stop from hearing positive song on the radio to now you hear three positive songs and then two negative songs, or songs that were more negative picture. And then it came a point where it was a balance. You would hear two or three positive type songs, two or three negative songs, so it was a balance. And then it became imbalance. You would hear more negative type songs, and then every now and then you start hearing a positive song. So now the imbalance has happened. This is like 93, 94. Now there's the imbalance. Are you hearing more negative stuff? By the time 2000 come, you got a whole bunch of negative stuff, and then just a few positive type songs that aren't degrading or ripping you down as a people. So it was like a whole thing, and the whole transformation happened after 2001, when all these skinny jeans and these rappers promoting skinny jeans and tattoos all on the face and all over the body, and more negative aspects of degrading ourselves and saying that I'm a hustler and I'm a pimp and I'm in the trap and I'm trapping, and everything was about drugs. All everything you got, you want to make money in rap business, now everything you say got to be about selling drugs. Meanwhile, the people who follow them people that's talking about rapping and selling drugs, they start selling drugs too. Then they get caught up, go to court, go to jail. Now that rap industry, what Ice Cube was just talking about, who owned the record label, got them in the trap of listening to those favorite rappers, that they the ones influenced them to say, okay, go ahead and talk negative about yourself, talk about selling drugs, 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 drugs. And then now they got all of these people filling up those jails for them, based on what is in their head and what they've been influenced by on how to be as a person and who they look up to as a role model, which was a negative-ass rapper, telling them about selling drugs and killing your own kind and being shiesty and doing anything and get away with anything and just, you know, live on the edge and even know that you're going to hell. Sometimes they even say that, yeah, I know I'm going to hell, or, I sold my soul to the devil. They'll tell you all that stuff later on. So that's what's happening.
Yes, sir. And, you know, and as you was speaking, started off speaking earlier, and as you, it made me think about something. entrapment. Y'all know about entrapment, and that's what they're doing is entrapment. And what I mean by entrapment is like the police, they set up a what they call a sting little operation or something where they have fake prostitutes, women, they actually be police set up as prostitutes. And when a John, as they say, or somebody or a trick, whatever they call them, comes out there to purchase some, you know, something from the woman, it actually be a police. So it's like you're a fake prostitute setting up the guy think he gonna actually get some, and then y'all arrest him when you out there got the woman parading around like she trying to sell something. That's basically entrapment. That's basically entrapment. That's all it is. That's what they actually do. Faking like you even a damn drug dealer, and you know, and sometimes they actually sell the dope and just set up, you know, and had these little fake trap houses. Oh man, I don't know. That's what a lot of this stuff is. This music is entrapment. Like you said, the same, like Ice Cube said, the same ones who basically own these record labels to promote this, or these committees to promote this music, hell, invest in private prisons too, because they know some people, and people will argue you up and down that this music has nothing to do with it, don't influence nobody to do so and so. Okay. Y'all just keep, I don't know what the hell y'all living at. I don't know where y'all living at, but just keep paying attention. Keep paying attention. Some of y'all will get it one of these days. Some of y'all will catch on to it one of these days. But with that one, I want to play another one. I got another one, Jess. I got a good one right here. Check this out, y'all. Because with this stuff that's going on, you can't win. You're not going to win with this positivity. With this negativity. Excuse me, y'all. Excuse me. I mean, with this negativity. You're going to win with positivity. With this negative stuff, you can't win. So check this out.
You got to look ready till you get it.
You can't win, you can't make it, and then you can't get out of the game. People keep saying things are gonna change, but they look just like they're staying the same. You get in, be over your head, and you only got yourself to blame. You can win, child,
you can't win, child.
You can't make even. Can't get out of the game. You can't win. The world keeps moving and you're standing far behind. People keep saying things will get better.
Just to ease your pain of mind.
Now that ain't bad. And you smoke that fool.
Yeah, you drink a glass of wine.
And you can win,
shot. All right, y'all, let's do a double shot. Y'all heard that one, y'all. You can't win, man. You can't win. It's Michael Jackson, y'all, from The Wiz. You can't win. And let's do one more. Let's do one more quick one. We ain't going to play the whole thing, y'all. Just little snippets. Just snippet. I like this song right here, too, because we're going back in time, y'all. Even though we're getting ready to move forward in time, according to the calendar. But we're going to go back in time to some positivity, some music. That's what we're doing right now, showing y'all. When Michael Jackson had the song, Remember the Times? Yeah, we're remembering the times right here with Brother Justice and Brother Ari Israel tonight. Check this out, y'all. How about this little nickel bag of funk, y'all? Digital Planet, Diggable Planets. Y'all remember that? Come on, let's get this down right. Get it right. Nickel bag of funk. I just like this. I like that group, man.
The school, the sugars on your block. The planets let them flash in the corners of New York. The ghetto, the meadow, the Mr. Butterflew. The honey bug dug and licked the honeybee. The sun, the kiss, the funk for a bit. The lips with the soul and some jazz for your hips. The puff, the buzz, the lizzy heavy slick. The mecca get a rush when the beats be very thick. The hands, the feet, the brown baby treat. The femmes fumble loose and drink the doodle juice. The steps, the flams, the planets got damp. The people get a grip with the tape from a jam. A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Uh-huh, a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk. The big, the fat, the cool cats. The psychedelic soul puts the planets on the map. the chic, the love, the far out name, the lack of the funk's the main, why we came, the boogie gets done, the colors won't run, the funk hits the square, the kids gotta come, the pizza with the pop, the West Fourth stop, the crew after crew that do the grass hop, the true cool is black, the new school is fat, the beats by the ounce, the funk by the pack. The groove is the fix, the jitterbug fix, the hanging off the butts with the fat soul kicks.
Yes, sir. I just got to get in a little bit, y'all. Just a little bit. Just a little nickel bag of fun. Just you got one. You can throw us out a little bit more, brother. Let me see. Okay, loud sound. Have it out.
Something's wrong with my phone or something. I hear a bad thing.
I don't know what the hell it was then. Okay. Yeah, if you got one you want to give us before we leave out, we still got couple more minutes, about 15 minutes. But you did got a song, you want to throw in there, brother. Yeah, you can. But yeah, I just want to throw a song.
You know, I don't know if you hear this noise. Can you hear some noise? Sounds like a,
say something.
The dial tone is stuck. Do you have that?
I hear some kind when you talk.
The dial tone is stuck.
No, I can't hear it. It's kind of like when you talk, I hear some a noise, but I don't. But
well,
not while you're not talking.
Okay, I don't know what that is. So maybe it could be something wrong with my phone, but I hear it's very annoying. It's like the dial tone is stuck, and I'm trying to see if I can unstick it on my end, and then hear that I'm bored.
Yeah, it sounds like something messing up, your phone kind of messing. I can hear you clear, but it's like when you talk, it is
right.
Some kind of distortion noise going on. So I don't know. It might be, they interfering with you, brother, I tell you what, we go ahead and go and wrap it up so you won't have to keep dealing with that noise there.
Okay.
You got something you want to end us out with then, brother? Some positive words or something to end us out with then for the year?
Well, I just want to wish everybody a blessed new year, and that we could come together in a way where we could stop all of this madness that we under the control of the adversary of the creator of the universe. And so we can win by simply offering kindness to each other on a daily basis. Let's try to be more kind towards one another and want for ourselves what we want for our brother and vice versa, and to just have more love and care and compassion in your heart for your people, your own kind, and hopefully it'll rub off on each other this year coming up, because we can't keep doing the same thing.
Yes, sir. I totally agree. Yeah, like I said, brothers and sisters, we're going to get ready to get out of here. And like I said, we're going to bring some things, some great positive shows and some influential shows and more informational shows for the Most High Willing. We had to say that, too, because, make sure we can say that. So we're going to try to do that and bring that to you, sisters, brothers. Like I said, so may the Most High bless each and every last one of you. Till y'all hear from us again next show. And y'all try to stay safe out there. And man, just like I said, we just got to work on bringing that positivity back, that some positive things and education, and first in the and safeguarding our children. That's the key right there. That's what I was going to bring up earlier, but we have to really safeguard our children, because our children are surely under attack. If nothing else, our children are under attack. All of us are spiritually under attack, but they are truly spiritually, mentally, and everything else being under attack, physically and all of that. So we truly have to try to safeguard our children, especially right now, as we can say, physically, their physical body, because all this sex trafficking and all of this other stuff, molestation is happening with them, and actually mentally, because the stuff they're trying to feeding in their head through television and even in some of this stuff in the school curriculums now trying to do. So, yeah. So we have to truly ask, like we was listening to Brother X Clan them earlier, talking about heed the word to my brother and my sisters. So we have to heed the word and try to start back educating our brothers and sisters, because, you know, we know they're going to do it through mainstream and things of that nature, because that's the enemy's platform. And, you know, damn well we ain't going to do it, because he has an agenda. So we have to have our own agenda and let our agenda be bigger than their agenda. And that's to get our people back on track. Right. Because they, you know, you're looking for a savior to come to the world to save the people. Hell, you be the savior. Now, I'm going to give y'all something Dr. York said. Dr. York said it, and I like this one, and this is true. We have to do this. He said the help you're looking for is at the end of your arm. Let me say it again. The help that you're looking for is at the end of your arm. Nobody, I'm not trying to be disrespectful for what nobody believe, but I got to say this, though. I got to tell the damn truth. While you sitting here, you waiting on somebody to come out of the sky, whether you're coming from a UFO, I don't know, a damn parachute, you waiting on somebody to come back and save you, hey, it just ain't going to happen. Many people have died and left this planet waiting on somebody to come and save them when you can come do it. Like I said, Malcolm said, they got you waiting. Y'all remember that? Malcolm said, they got you looking in the sky, waiting till you go to heaven. Why they got a piece of heaven right here on this damn earth? You want to be saved? You want to get out of whatever conditions that we in the people? You got to start your damn self. You got to start with it yourself. Don't let them fool you with nothing talking about somebody coming back to save you. You're going to be waiting a lot of long damn time. But, hey, we got to save ourselves. We got to do this, brothers and sisters. And it's imperative that we start to, it's imperative. We can't keep going down this road waiting and waiting on somebody to do it when we have the ability to do it our damn selves. Just point blank, period. Like they say, the Bible's always say, y'all, what? The time is at hand. Like when you read it, it was talking about the time was at hand right then and there for those people. So right now, in our time, the time is at hand. The time is ever present. The time is ever need is at hand. It truly is. The time is at hand. 2024. Can we do it, y'all? We don't shed the chapter of, and we flipping the page of 2023. That page 2024, I mean 23, we finna turn the page and start writing a new chapter. We are the authors. We are the writers. We are the producers right now. And we're getting ready to write a new chapter in this book, chapter 24, called Our Life, Our Time. So what are we going to write? How is it going to be written? How's the script going to be written, y'all? It's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to each and every last one of us. So what are we going to do? How is it going to be in 2025 when the history books closed in? What is it going to say in chapter 24? That's all I'm going to say. All right, peace, y'all. We gone. Brother Justice in the house. Brother Ariel Israel. Hey, y'all, we have been y'all gracious hosts right here for the night. We pray, like I said again, everybody have a peaceful night and prayers be safe out there. So, hey, into the next year, New Year, hey, we have a couple more hours. We holler at y'all later, y'all. Peace,
Happy
y'all.
Happy New Year!
Coach of Freedom been in the house, y'all. Peace. Peace to you, Brother Justice. Peace to you, my brother.
Peace. Yes, right, sir. Peace. Great show.
All right, you too. Appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate you for taking your time and
my man.
Sharing with the family. Yes, sir. All right, God bless, brother. All right.
Peace.